When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Breaking sports news when it happens on The Fan.
Rise and grind, ladies and gentlemen. It's about to get bumpy. Time to attack and dominate. This is Morning Juice with Brandon Beam and Bobby Carpenter.
And here we go on a Monday, attacking and dominating our way to 9 a.m. every single weekday morning right here on The Fan. Brandon Beam, the General Bobby Carpenter, and of course our fearless leader and producer Mark the Shark. General, we have navigated our way back here to a Monday. What's going on, man? Good to talk to you after a weekend.
Oh, great to be back in here with you, Beam. Excited for another week. First full week of May. We get a chance to tackle here.
Oh, yeah.
Fired up and ready to go, man. How was your wonderful weekend? Was it dry for you? It was supposed to rain a lot, and it really didn't.
All right. So it was my stepdad's birthday was on Saturday, and I surprised him. He was going to play golf with a couple of buddies midweek last week. I had texted some of his friends that he usually plays with, and I said, hey, you playing with JR on Saturday? Yeah, sure are. I'm like, okay, that sounds good. I'm like, if any one of you have to drop off for any reason, let me know. I'll come down and play.
I'll be the fall guy.
Yeah. And so buddy takes a little bit of time, calls me back here, and it's one of my best friend's dads. He calls me back after I had texted him, you know, like an hour later. He's like, hey, I should probably I got a funeral. I should probably go to that instead. And I'm like, okay, well, that sounds good. So on Saturday morning, I drove down to Wilmington to play golf. So that's about an hour away from us, right off 71. Mm-hmm. And we had an 8:30 tee time. So it was like 6:45 in the morning, Bob's. I got up 6:30, 6:45 rolls around. I'm like texting my other buddies who are obviously going to play. I'm like, they're running decoy for me, you know, like, cause my stepdad didn't know that I was going to be there. So we're waffling because at that point, Saturday looked like a wash, right?
Yeah.
Especially down there, too. We're like, what do you want to do? Radar doesn't look great. I'm like, well, whatever decision we need to make, whether we're going to bail on it or whether we're going to go ahead and play, I'm like, that decision needs to happen in the next 15 minutes because I'm like, I got to leave the house. So they call my stepdad. They're like, hey, what do you want to do? I know it's your birthday, yada, 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 whatever. Get the call, 6:45. Okay, he said, we're going to go for it. We'll meet you at the golf course. Go down to the golf course, surprise my stepdad. That was pretty good. I had a great time playing golf on Saturday. We dodged a few raindrops. I mean, there were probably played one hole in the rain, Bob, put my rain jacket on. But other than that, I mean, it was good. Like, it turned into a pretty awesome little weekend that we had here. Like, the threat of rain was kind of always in the area. There was a tornado siren that went off in Wilmington, and we're looking around like, I don't see anything on the radar. Like, it's pretty clear right now. I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but we got 18 holes in. It looked like it was going to be a wash. I'm glad that we decided to play. Then came back on Saturday afternoon, hung out a little bit, and then just did a lot of yard work yesterday. So it was a pretty solid little weekend, man. What about you?
It was good weekend, dude. Good weekend. A lot going on. You know, Friday I had a little retirement party for Gene, went over to at the stadium. Nice. It was pretty great. Yeah. Did a good job with that. You know, it's a pretty small event, but it was fun watching, you know, him talk. Michael Redd spoke.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, just a lot of guys sharing stories over 19 years. It was pretty remarkable. Well attended. You know, Ryan Day, Urban was there, you know, as you would expect. And, you know, he'll be out of here at the end of the month. And he's heading out to Arizona to kind of retire and chill a little bit. So, you know what? Job well done on him. A lot of stuff going on that track me to lacrosse tournaments, some soccer games on Saturday, like a family reunion that night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, down in Lancaster, woke up, came back up for some more soccer and lacrosse here to do my show with Joshua and Schlegs for YouTube and Bally's, hammered all that out, and yeah, got it done. And then went out to a little Mexican place over in Kingsdale.
Okay.
Yeah, your Cinco de Mayo is Court's birthday today. Got a million things going on, so I was like, let's go to dinner for your birthday. I thought it was just going to be me and her. She wanted to do the whole kids, whole family. So, yeah, that was it was an event. It was an event, but it was fun. We enjoyed it, and very, very busy weekend, but very fruitful one as well.
Good, man. I'm glad you had a good weekend. Happy birthday to the lovely Miss Courtney today. So that's pretty awesome. We got a great show lined up for you here this morning. Buckeyes hot on the trail here in the transfer portal for the basketball front. We'll get into that coming up here in our next segment. Nice additions that they've made here over the last couple of weeks. They've had a couple of subtractions as well, but a good job by Jake Diebler. So we'll do that coming up here in our next segment. Bill Bender, the Sporting News, he's going to join the program coming up here at 6:35 this morning. One of my favorite annual sporting events traditions happened over the weekend, and no, I'm not talking about the Kentucky Derby. We'll get into that at the top of the 7 o'clock hour. Do a little Derby talk, too, around 7:20 this morning. And then Tony Gerdeman of Buckeye Huddle, he's going to join the program at 7:35. And Joshua Perry, he's going to round out the program with us, as he does every single Monday, coming up here around 8:35 this morning. So tons to get to here on this Monday edition of the program. But before we do anything, it is Monday, the 6th day of May, 2024. Time for Today in History.
Time to get smarter. Morning Juice presents Today in History. Here's your professor, Bobby Carpenter.
Sponsored by Dr. Mark Levy. If you're snoring and not sleeping, call Dr. Mark Levy at 1-800-MORE-SLEEP.
All right, Roberto, who do you got lined up for us this morning, buddy?
Well, it is Monday, May 6th, 127th of the day of the year, 239 days remaining in this 2024. This date, 1541, King Henry VIII orders an English Bible to be placed in every church. Before that, being they had Latin in a language in there as well.
Okay.
But getting English is the preferred language, obviously, there in England. And Henry VIII, Shark, one of your favorite kings of England. I know you got him on your Mount Rushmore of kings.
On his short list.
If you will.
The royalty short list,
yeah,
for
why
sure.
Not?
Real ladies' man.
Absolutely. This date, 1833, John Deere, he makes his first plow. How about that? Getting
nice.
His farm equipment.
Was his
company.
Tractor green?
You know what? I don't know if he had a tractor back then. I think it was more his horse was green, though.
I've never seen a green horse before. Well, that's why I drew the horse green.
They called it a horse of a different color.
Mm-hmm.
This date, 1889, the Eiffel Tower opens over in Paris, France. Then this date, 1915, pitcher Babe Ruth.
Oh.
It's his first major league home run for the Red Sox.
How about that?
Yeah. Getting it done, Babe. In a big way. 1940, John Steinbeck wins a Pulitzer Prize for Grapes of Wrath.
Never read it.
It's a long book. It's good. There's a movie they made about it back in the 40s or 50s, whenever it came out. It's pretty good. I mean, most people read Mice and Men. East of Eden's another classic Steinbeck novel. Some of them are long. Mice and Men, short. Grapes of Wrath, longer. East of Eden, super, super long.
Okay.
Some big sporting news, as we were talking about. The Kentucky Derby, which, by the way, the winning time, 2:03 beam. Like, let's go. We're regressing.
Yeah.
The horse folks. And it was a dry track down there, too.
Yeah.
It didn't rain, I didn't think.
That's a hell of a race, too.
Yeah. Photo finish. I mean, they're jogging around and still hadn't announced the winner.
Yeah.
And, like, there's hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe billions, based on, I don't know how much is bet on that, but.
It was a lot. I have that number. I'll share it with you later. Yeah, a lot. It was a record day.
It's a long tease for him, Beam.
Mm-hmm.
The Mystic Dan, if you will. But on this date, 1954, Roger Bannister becomes the first person to break the 4-minute mile mark.
Well, all I can say is that I'm absolutely overwhelmed and delighted. It was a great surprise to me to be able to do it today, and I think I was very lucky. In this country, the weather is always very much against running a fast time, and today I thought the wind was probably much too strong. But we did have a slight lull, and so there comes a moment when you've just got to try it. And I was very lucky to have my two friends help to make some of the running early on. And I certainly attribute a lot of it to their presence in the race, which gave me that extra spur to go on.
An extra spur to go on.
Was he racing a marathon, like, when he broke it?
It was a mile.
Well, I know that, but the way that he was talking about it, he was like, there was some racing that was going on, and I didn't know if it was just just time a mile, or he did it inside of something else.
It was an event.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, it was a structured race. I mean, it wasn't just out there on the track.
Yeah, I didn't
know. Let's go get this. He wasn't like the Wright brothers out there trying to fly.
Just come on.
There was other folks racing with him. This day, 1972. Is this 52 years ago for real?
Yeah.
Elton John releases Rocket Man.
It'll be nice to hear this morning.
It really would. We can hear this instead. Gaylord Perry becoming the 15th pitcher to win 300 games for the Seattle Mariners back in 1980.
The 2-1 pitch to Randolph. Swung on, ground ball to Cruz. This should do it. He's got it. It's over. Gaylord has 300. everybody mobbing Gaylord Perry as he goes all the way. His teammates come out, Bud Bulling and Gaylord Perry becomes the 15th man in baseball history to win 300 games as the Mariners beat the Yankees 7-3. My, oh my.
Also of note, Gaylord Perry, last Major League Baseball player probably of all time being named Gaylord as well.
I don't think anybody's being named that today. Gaylord Perry ranks 17th all time now in wins. Right sandwiched between Tom Seaver and Phil Niekro.
There you go. How many did he end with?
He ended with 314, Bob. So only 14 more after that.
So probably just played the rest of the season, I would guess.
Yeah.
And maybe one more.
Yeah.
This date, 1984, What's Love Got to Do with It, released by Tina Turner.
That'd have been nice, too.
And this one would be as well. Absolutely. Steve Jobs unveiling his first iMac in 1998, and then SpaceX being founded in 2022. But a nice little banger there, like you mentioned, being by Tina Turner 40 years ago today. Some birthdays, Orson Welles of Citizen Kane. War of the Worlds, born in the state in 1915. Willie Mays, how about that, turning 93 years young today. Good for him.
Yeah.
Bob Seger, he's got some bangers, turning 79. And George Clooney, turning 63 years young. We got a clip for you out of the movie Out of Sight. Of all the damn movies he's been in, Shark, this is the movie we're going to pick.
Go for it. How can I help you, sir?
See, the man talking to your bank manager has his case open.
Oh, that's Mr. Gwendon, one of our assistant managers. Our manager is Mr. Schoen, but he's not in today.
But you see the man with the briefcase?
Yes.
That's my partner. He has a gun in there. And if you don't do exactly what I tell you, or if you give me any kind of a problem at all, I'm going to look over at my partner, and he's going to shoot your Mr. Gwendon between the eyes. And now take one of those big envelopes and put as many hundreds, 50s, and 20s as you can pack into it. It's okay. Come on, Loretta. Key's right there next to you. This is your first time being around? Doing great. Just smile, Loretta, so you don't look like you're being held up. You've got a very pretty smile.
There we go. Of all the movies, Shark, that's the one we're picking.
That was a pretty good cut out of George Clooney,
actually.
It's a good
cut.
It's a good movie.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen it either. When did that come out, Shark?
2004.
Oh, gosh.
I'm just guessing.
1998.
Even older.
Is that your guess?
No, it's 1998. I just Googled it.
That's pretty impressive right
there. June 26, 1998. Well, 78 mil at the box office. J-Lo's in it, Don Cheadle, Ving Rhames. That's a good cast.
That's a nice cast. Nice cast right there. Future Hall of Famer, former teammate of mine, Jason Witten, turning 42 years young as well today. Chris Paul turning 39. Goran Dragic turning 38, former NBA-er. Shark's favorite rapper, Meek Mill, turning 37 today. How about that?
Happy birthday, Meek.
Absolutely. I wonder if Diddy wished him one, too. And then our guy, Buckeye, Cam Hayward, turning 35 today. And how'd you not get any sound from him, Shark? Paul Keels, getting it done.
Oh, wait, I do have sound from him.
Not on the sheet, but sure.
I'm really sorry.
Time to get smarter.
You know what? I'll have to save it for what has you juice, Bob.
Okay, there we go.
Gosh, you know, it was in here. It was in my array on Friday, and it's not there anymore.
Someone stole it.
Someone's messing with it.
There you go. And then some passings today. Passing on this date, 1862, the famed transcendentalist. I left the pond for as good a reason as I came. Mr. Henry David Thoreau, the writer of Walden Pond. Beam getting back to nature, away from industrialization.
I love it.
Some holidays and observances. It's Great Lakes Awareness Day, which is always the first Monday, the full week in April. International No Diet Day, Melanoma Day, National Beverage Day, National Crepes Suzette Day.
Ooh.
Sounds pretty good. National Nurses Day, so thank a nurse and RN out there. Tourist Appreciation Day, no homework day as well. And it's the Orthodox Easter Monday on this date, May 6th. So, those are your historical events, your birthdays, your passings, your holidays, observances for this date, Monday, May 6th, 127th day of the year, 239 days remaining, and a happy birthday to my lovely wife, Miss Courtney Joe, on this May 6th as well.
Very well done to that, General, as always. Very happy birthday to your wife. Like you just said, Jake Dieblers, he's having a pretty nice little off season as the head man in charge for the Buckeyes. We'll get into that coming up next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now, the left lane is blocked on I-670 westbound, right as you meet 23 because of a crash that multiple vehicles are involved with. Expect delays going westbound on I-670 near the downtown area. I'm 10 TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan traffic.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Beam has a baby face. Bobby has soft hands. That should not stop you from listening to this show. This is Morning Juice.
For Monday edition of the program, Brandon Beam, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark, coming up here in our next segment around 6:35 here this morning, and checking with Bill Bender of the Sporting News. Talk all things college ball and the NFL with him. Do a little round ball right now, though, Bob. Listen to this. Over the weekend, a second five-star talent has appeared here on this Buckeye rosters. Duke's Sean Stewart committed to the Buckeyes on Friday. About that, a little afternoon news dump on Friday. Stewart was a five-star prospect in the class of 2023, according to the 24/7 Sports composite rankings. Number 17 overall recruit in the nation. He was considered the fifth best at his position, which is power forward, and he was number 62 in the transfer portal rankings. So then he kind of re-identified.
Love the portal.
Oh, yeah, portal's great stuff. Absolutely love it. How about that? So over the last couple of weeks, you have a couple of five-star prospects now. He's a sophomore. He's 6'9", 227 pounds. Averaged 2.5 points a game, 3.5 rebounds, half a block a game. So him and Aaron Bradshaw, your front court is going to look totally different than it did last year, right? I mean, you have to think last season was Zed getting a good amount of run.
Mm-hmm.
You had coming off the bench as the sixth man. You had Felix Akpara, obviously, who was playing a lot of games for the Buckeyes. And then Devin Royal at the end of the season
worked in a lot,
was really, so really, really solid in his kind of the second half of the season for Ohio State last year. I'm excited to see year two of Devin Royal. I think he kind of figured out the college game a little bit, but his scoring prowess is pretty solid. But your front court looks totally different now with Aaron Bradshaw. And then, of course, again, a new front runner in the front court, Sean Stewart. So you get Aaron Bradshaw and Sean Stewart in. And, I mean, it was tough to crack the Duke lineup last year behind Filipowski and then I think Mitchell as well. But you want to talk about a nice little transfer portal for the Buckeyes so far? Like, yeah, anytime you get two former five-star guys, one from Kentucky, one from Duke, like, that's a pretty strong... pretty strong teams you're pulling dudes from the portal in.
I would say so. I mean, your front court, like you said, is going to look massively different with Bradshaw, who just came in from Kentucky. And then what's the...
Sean Stewart.
Stewart from Duke. I was listening to Chops and Bo and those guys on Friday, and they had the crystal ball had turned for the Buckeyes 100%. Like, very rarely is it that wrong. So obviously a huge get for DeBoer. Well, there was... obviously some concern when after Bradshaw comes in and Felix Harpara had the announcement that he was returning to Ohio
State. Was that like a week? Was it a week difference, if that?
Yes. Yeah, the announcement that he was coming back, followed by the announcement that he was getting in the portal.
Followed by the announcement, I'm going to Tennessee.
Well, he's going down, yeah, he said going to Tennessee down there. So there's a lot of uncertainty with this. But that, I think, is the final piece. Or they still have one more scholarship left for basketball?
I think they do have either one or two scholarships left. I'm not exactly sure what the scholarship grid, like what the count looks like, but I know they have at least one, possibly two.
So they've got a little bit of space. Deebs has a little bit of work to do, obviously, still there. You'd love to be able to get some more shooting.
Yeah.
But it looks like the front court now is solidified with Bradshaw and Stewart. They can give you a little bit of both. Some differences. Neither one of them's really a huge stretch guy. Both of them are probably more prolific on offense than we've had. You know, you looked at Akpar, a really good defender, Zed, kind of utility guy. I think both of these guys will be able to give you a little bit more on the offensive end than maybe you had before.
Yeah, and Felix with the back to the basket. Like, he just couldn't, like, that wasn't his game. You know, like, he was really good defensively, and he was awesome, like, when he was going towards the rim. Like, anything, like, kind of where he had the momentum building up, like, he was pretty solid, and then obviously you could throw, like, alley-oops to him, but, like, back to the basket, try to do something, create your own shot.
He wasn't a guy to dump it in, yeah.
it just wasn't his game. That just wasn't what he was doing. And then Zed had some nice, obviously, like, nice minutes here at Ohio State over the course of his tenure. He had the shoulder injury a couple of years ago. That derailed him a little bit. Then he was coming off the bench. Again, nice in spots. He heads to Dayton in the transfer portal. So we'll see what happens for him down in the 937. But overall, pretty good. And Michael Stewart, Sean's dad, did an interview with 11 Warriors. And here's what he said about Jake Diebler. He said he was honest, straightforward, direct, but at the same time, encouraging. He poured a lot of confidence into Sean, just continuing to reiterate the belief that he had in him. Back then, EJ Liddell was on the team, and during the recruiting process, it was a lot about the importance of that position. This time around, obviously, Jake Diebler is now the head coach, but it's the exact same thing. He said, it's been amazing to me. This is now Sean Stewart talking about it. He said, it's been amazing to me because this year I didn't get to play that much. So the fact that he still believes in me from seeing me in high school when I was able to be there and that he trusts me. On the visit, we walked through some offenses that he expects to run this year and some stuff that I was kind of initiating it. Whether that's starting the ball up top, whether it's a handoff, a lot of lob stuff, a lot of stuff for me going to be able to get the ball in the mid post. So it's really good offense to get everybody involved. I mean, that's already a lot different. And I know they play different positions. I know Bradshaw will be more of your traditional five compared to what Felix was. But yeah, I mean, getting the ball in the mid post and then him having to decide, well, do I want to kick it? Do I want to turn my back? What do I want to do? Do I want to attack the rim? It does sound like they have a plan for this fella. But again, anytime you can go and kind of, I know Kentucky has had their issues. Coach Calipari left. He just went from Kentucky to Arkansas. Mm-hmm. But now you get this guy in there, like, okay, that's some pretty nice little transfer window that he just had.
It was. I was able to get this done. And this, you want to always start out fast recruiting-wise. The thing in college sports is it's really hard to gain momentum after you lose it. Jake Diebler had the momentum coming in from a strong finish last year. He's a new head coach, a first-time guy. Supposed to be, and he's revered as, you know, a really talented recruiter. And his connections in-state and out-of-state are really, really strong. And so with that, you want to carry this momentum over through the offseason, get a talented roster, so Beam, you're finishing in the top, you know, four or five next year in the Big Ten, making the tournament, and then you get that momentum rolling. Hopefully you win a couple of games, and then, you know, success begets success in life. As you start winning more, it's going to be easier to recruit, and all of those things are going to happen. You want to make sure you start fast, and he's getting a loaded and talented roster here.
I'll tell you one thing. I've missed March Madness here on the men's side in these last couple of years. I don't know if it's been, like, I've been excited to watch the tournament. It's been great. I've watched a lot of it. But it's different when your team is not playing in it compared to when your team is. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
It's just such a different vibe. And the way that they ended last year, you know, went on that nice little run at the end, almost took down Illinois to get to, what was that? Would that have been the Big Ten Championship? Semifinals. That's right. It was the quarterfinals.
If they win that, there's a decent chance they would have gotten in. Yeah. They maybe would have had to win one more, but, you know, they were right on the cusp there. They played really well. But yeah, you'd like to see them playing meaningful basketball, Beam, when you turn that calendar over into the month of March.
So some good news, good job on the transfer portal. Again, a couple of weeks ago, Aaron Bradshaw, and then this time around, another talented five-star, Sean Stewart, out of Duke. So Kentucky and Duke, two of the transfer portal coming in here. We'll see what this offseason holds for Jake Diebler, but so far he's done a nice job navigating that. Should we expect the same cast of characters and the new expanded college football playoff format? We're going to ask Bill Bender the sporting news about it next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now we're watching delays on I-670 westbound right at US 23. The left lane slightly blocked off on 670 westbound, and crews are responding to this crash. Keep that in mind as you're heading out the door. Also watching the center lane blocked on I-70 eastbound at I-71 northbound because of a disabled vehicle. I'm 10 TV's Amy Sagerwald with your fan traffic.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
A radio show hosted by two former football players, one slightly more successful than the other. You're listening to Morning Juice.
This is Long here, a little Monday edition of the program. Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark. Right now we're going to head out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Check with our good friend of the sporting news. He is Bill Bender. Bill, thanks so much for the time, buddy. Always appreciate it. Lots of, like, big news in the legal world last week for college football, federal lawsuit, NCAA going to settle that bad boy to the tune of like $2.7 billion. And I think, Bill, this is kind of just the now turning of the page of the old guard in the NCAA as we move into a new kind of world that we're living in with NIL and transfer portal and all kinds of craziness. Thanks for the time, buddy. Happy Monday to you.
Oh, yeah, happy Monday, and totally agree. We're headed toward, the model's going to continue to change, and I think we're laying the groundwork for revenue sharing to happen in some more formal way. Now, there's a lot of hurdles to that, and you know, the SEC and the Big Ten are going to continue to lay that groundwork. Super League's probably not the right word, but the SEC and the Big Ten, I think, are just going to continue to dominate this sport, dominate the new playoff spots, and dominate revenue and TV ratings, and this would help them do that even more.
If you're looking at the, and I've seen a lot of like different models come out for like the Super League, Bill, and perhaps even like promotion relegation, which is fine. Like I'm fine with that. That would be okay. But the way that you would doctor it up, and I know you've been thinking about this for a long time, and we're not just asking you this hip fire on a Monday morning at 6:35. But if it kind of went to a Super League model, where would you come down, and how would that look in your mind?
Well, I mean, I would go off how Ohio does high school football. You know, there's Division I through, I think, 7 now. But, you know, the top, maybe separate college football into three different divisions. And you have the top 40 or so, the next 40, and then the bottom 40. And, you know, those schools could play for separate national championships. Now, the group of five, that's become a real discussion, and as you guys know, I'm an Ohio alum, and I always have that debate. I don't think they necessarily want to do that because of the money that these group of five schools are getting from the television contracts, even if there's a very slim to none chance that they'll ever win a national championship. As long as they have that playoff spot in the 12-team format, they're not going to go do their own thing.
Well, and so let me ask you this. Can those two things coexist? Could they get the top ranked group of five schools still in, but then also potentially have their own 16-team playoff? Because, Bill, I would argue that I think that might be more revenue positive for those schools than potentially the current situation, because those would be games that I think many people would consider of greater consequence than what they're seeing right now in the bowl situation.
Well, Bobby, I think you've just unlocked what most people would rather watch than, or you could even still play them at these bowl game sites. Like yeah. You could play the Camilla Bowl as a round of 16 game. Then I think more people are more apt to watch that bowl game between, it was that bowl game between last year. I'm thinking it was like, you know, like Arkansas State and Central Michigan are playing in that game. People will watch it if it's a round of 16 game. You still give the group of five school a playoff berth because, like I said, as an Ohio guy, if they ever got that 12 seed and got in the 12-team playoff, I don't care if they're playing LSU, Georgia, Penn State, whoever, I'd be super excited about it.
You got one half of the Camellia Bowl right, Bill. That was Arkansas State. And how dare you forget that Northern Illinois beat them in what was a great game. It was 21-19. It seemed like a really good game as we check in with Bill Bender here of the Sporting News with us on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. I mean, how long, Bill, are we going to stick on the 12-team format? I know it's new, but we've already seen indications that after the first couple of years, we're going to blow past that and go right to 14.
Well, 14 or 16. I mean, I think they could. They're going to get as many teams as they can as long as it's interesting. And this first year, I've been using the word experiment a little bit for the last couple of weeks because that's kind of what this year is. We're experimenting with realignment. We're experimenting with the 12-team playoff, the transfer portal stuff, the NIL stuff. I'm excited to a point about the 12-team playoff, but I've always kind of been this – line of thinking for me is that in any given year, and I don't know if you guys feel the same way, it's only about 6 or 8 teams that are truly capable of winning a national championship. I can't remember a year where I was like, yeah, 12 teams could win this thing.
I think last year, Bill, was as flat at the top as it had been. Do you feel like coming into this year that the power is more concentrated, or we're down a trend and a path with the portal that opens this up and, you know, maybe there are more, as opposed to being 4 to 6, maybe it is more like 7 to 10 that could potentially win it.
Well, that's the thing. If we were in a 14 format, I would say the playoff race is wide open. sort of, outside of if I was penciling in a couple, I would lightly pencil in Georgia and Ohio State, because I think in terms of winning a 12-team playoff and winning 3 to 4 games, you have to have roster depth now. You just have to have – it's hard to go out and win 2 playoff games. It's going to be harder to win out 3 and 4, but we will see good games out of it. But, yeah, right now, I mean, if I was making that list of teams that could truly win a national championship, probably Ohio State, Georgia, Texas, Oregon, Alabama, then I got to start, like, making cases for teams after that.
Are we going to have the same? Are we going to be up in arms the same amount, like arguing who the 13th and 14th is, as we were the 5th and the 6th all throughout the first 10 years of the 4-team playoff, Bill?
I mean, we did the same with the 67th and 68th team in the NCAA tournament, right? So, and I know last night we had the lacrosse tournament bracket up, and there people were mad about the 18th and 19th team not making it. So, yes, we are going to spend a lot of – we did that all the time. We're going to spend a lot of time on 11, 12, 13, 14. And I guess if you're a college football team, you don't want to be in those discussions.
Transfer portal window closed here in the spring. Didn't really seem like there was any crazy surprises throughout the world of college football. I think everybody anticipated this huge, massive talent dump that was going to come in there, and a lot of activity and movement going around. And honestly, Bill, I mean – some guys that left, but I don't know if there was anybody of like tremendous consequence that you saw get in the portal that could have shifted the balance of power.
No, not really. And if I'm making a top 25, preseason top 25 for next season, it doesn't change much based on the spring portal. I thought there would be a couple moves at the quarterback position that would shift things around, but they didn't. One Ohio State guy, Dallin Hayden to Colorado. Mm-hmm. That's more interesting than anything else because they had the nation's worst rushing attack last year. Their offensive line wasn't good. But Dallin Hayden, in the moments he played at Ohio State, there were some bright spots for him. So I'm very interested to see what he does with the Buffaloes.
I'm interested to see what year number two for Deion looks like out there. I mean, it was a kind of a wild week for him last week with everything that was going on. Just your thoughts on that situation and Coach Prime heading into year two out there in Boulder.
Yeah, we're going to overreact to the opener. That's the next step. We spend the offseason questioning his roster management. I don't know how sustainable it is, how many years you can just do it that way, where you have 40-some guys come in, 40-some guys come out, and once Shador and Travis Hunter, who are top 10 talents, are gone, where does that go from here? They do open with North Dakota State, and they are set up for a potential fast start in September again. So you guys know what that means. Everybody gets on the bandwagon, then they lose a game, and everybody jumps off. I mean, they're the perfect team for social media in that sense.
Bill, before we get you out of here too, I was really enjoying your piece that you did late last week of the top 12 college football programs of the college football playoff era. And I like the way that you did it. National championships are worth an X amount of points, college football playoffs appearances, New Year's Six appearances, all that stuff. It was crazy to me that you get the top four teams, Alabama, no surprise, with 169 points, Clemson right at number two with 117, Buckeyes at three with 110, Georgia at 102, and then the drop-off that you get from number four all the way the rest of the down the way was really pretty stark to me and kind of encapsulated what I think was kind of the history of the 4-team college football playoff format.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a case to have Ohio State or Georgia ahead of Clemson, but I think it's over even 10 years, the short-sighted memory. Clemson had 4 national championship games, really dominated. It was Clemson and Alabama every year. Ohio State, the best stat that was the most impressive that kind of defines that program, not just the All-Americans, the draft picks, but every year made the New Year's Day Six. Only school to do that. So even on a year where it didn't go to the playoff, it was in one of those showcase bowls. And that tells me if you were in the New Year's Day Six every year, they're going to be that school that's probably in the 12-team playoff every year.
Bill, always appreciate the time. Thanks for waking up with us this morning. Have a great rest of the week, buddy. Enjoy this weather here in Central Ohio, and we'll check in again soon, all right?
Hey, thanks so much, guys. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good. There he goes, our good friend of the Sporting News, Bill Bender, with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline.
Well, spending money to replace your home's windows is rarely something you get excited about. I get it. It seems like more of a necessity. We do it because our energy bills suck, or our current windows, they look messed up and they're falling down. But when you work with the local Pella Columbus team, They're going to open your eyes. They open my eyes. New windows can legitimately change the entire look of your home. Not only are they going to save you money on your energy bills, but the windows, the colors and the styles they have over Appella, they're like nothing you've ever seen. They can change everything and make your house look that when you pull up, it's a place you'll want to walk on into. So go check them out at their new Polaris showroom or go see them online with my friends at PellaColumbus.com. That's PellaColumbus.com.
Your boy Brooks Koepka, he's peaking at the right time, heading into the PGA Championship. Don't look
live
now.
Live champion.
Do that in Quick Hitters next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now we are watching a crash on I-670 westbound right near High Street. This is just west of that 71-670 split. Multiple lanes are blocked and expect delays going westbound again on I-670. I'm 1080's Amy Steigerwald with your fan traffic.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Heading to work? Keep listening to the guys at the office.
Stream the show at 971thefan.com or download the Fan app.
This is Morning Juice.
We're here on The Juice and brought to you by our good friends over at Affinity Whole Health, the leader in testosterone and hormone replacement therapy. You can, of course, visit them on the line at feelgreatcolumbus.com.
Morning Juice presents Quick Hitters.
Sponsored by Schottenstein Roofing. For top quality and a price match guarantee, visit schottensteinroofing.com.
Sharky!
Yes!
Hey, happy Monday to you.
Is there such a thing as a happy Monday?
I won the Cavs won their first playoff series since 2018. That was a pretty good Monday.
Yeah, made for a really good Sunday.
I don't know about Monday.
J.J. Watt is now 35 years old. Certainly not ancient, even by NFL standards. But the future Hall of Famer battled through a lot of injuries the second half of his career and finally retired after the 2022 season.
A winter soldier with a bionic arm out there at the end, Shark.
Or did he retire? On Saturday, Watt hosted his annual charity softball game in Houston. He told reporters that he has talked to Texans head coach D'Amico Ryans, his former teammate, and told him, quote, "Don't call unless you absolutely need it, but if you ever do call, I'll be there," unquote. Bob, that probably raised some eyebrows at CBS Sports, where Watt is currently employed.
We could do the pregame show, and then they could just fly him in for the game.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's all, especially, you know, you get a little private jet, maybe duck him out a segment or two beforehand, maybe do a couple tape segments with him being.
Yeah.
It sounds a lot like Madonna.
Well, if they have a 4 o'clock, you know, game, like the 4 o'clock window, they could get him down there no problem.
CJ, they're going to be in that 4 o'clock window all day.
Yeah.
He said, what, if you call my name, I'm like a little prayer down on my knees. Miko, I want to take you there. There you go. Whatever it takes. I think JJ could probably come in and still play.
Yeah.
That last year, he was literally playing with one arm at the end of the season. I don't know how he was playing with a torn labrum, rotator cuff, shredded shoulder.
Ugh.
Tough dude, but he's so beaten up. He could probably come in and give you some snaps and give you good snaps if you needed. But I don't know if you're going to be seeing the three-time Defensive Player of the Year out there.
Yeah, I would highly doubt that. I'll just tell you what is going to happen, though. I mean, as we get into August and September, he's going to be feeling like the best he's ever felt. You know, in the last, like, how long did he play in the league? 14, 15 years? Like, he played for a long, long time. And so he's going to be feeling good in August and September. And you know this, Bob, better than a lot of people. Like, hey, I could go out there and give it a shot. Why not, right? Team wants to bring me in, maybe for a little playoff run.
He didn't play last year, though, did he?
Was
this 2 years ago? Or
no, he didn't play in 23.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, 22. Yeah. So he's been out for a full year. If he doesn't play at all this year, he's done. And I can't imagine them bringing him in, but you never know.
Yeah, I do too. And I don't know, maybe if the Texans are, you know, on their way to like a one seed in the AFC and he says, I'd like to get a ring before I go out here. I can help you out.
They would have to need him. The fact that the only reason I give this credence is the fact that it's Houston and his former teammate on defense is now the head coach.
So Eric Weddle a couple of years ago, like, sat out the entire year, then came back for the Super Bowl run with the Rams. Did he do that?
They won it. And that was his, he got to win a Super Bowl there. And he was playing. Who told me this story? I think he, like, blew out his shoulder. And they're like, you can't go back in. He goes, why? I'm done after this. He's like, I played I don't care. It's something. It was a shoulder knee. Something.
I think you're. I remember.
He just played through it. Yeah. And they're like, no, you should not do this. He's like, great. I'm going to do it anyway because shoot it up.
It's the last game of my career.
Last game of my career.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, I have a hard time envisioning J.J. Watt coming back. But if you need him, he'll be there.
In 2019, Odell Beckham Jr. caught 74 passes for the Browns for 1,035 yards. His career has fizzled since then. In the past 4 years, Odell has played for three teams, sat out a season following ACL surgery, and averaged just 26 catches a year. But the Miami Dolphins still believe OBJ has some value. Beamer, they have agreed to a one-year, $3 million deal with Beckham.
Yeah, you start to look at their wide receiver room and start to look down there. Like, they've done everything they could possibly do to acquire talent in Miami. Like, that's, I feel like, kind of the track, the trajectory that they're on. Everything is on Tua now. You got Tyreek Hill. You got Jalen Waddle. You now have Odell Beckham Jr. And you have one of the best backfields, too. Raheem Mostert with a really good year. Devon Achane with a good year last year, kind of out of nowhere. Their defense is going to be good. They just have to stay healthy, right? Like, they just have to stay healthy, and hopefully for them, they're not playing like a minus 40 degree game in Kansas City. If they can control their own destiny, I'm sure they'd like to be playing more on South Beach than they would up here in the Midwest when we get into January.
Well, we'll see if they can get that one seed. It'd be tough to pry it away from Kansas City, but this is where Odell Beckham Jr. is. He's a good 2-3, paid him $3 million. I think there's some bonuses. Shark, you get him up to like 7 or 8 should he play really well. But you've got Tyreek Hill. That's why this is a perfect scenario for him. It's a warm weather city. You're going to be in a good spot with him. I think he can go out there and still give you, 60 to 70 catches and be like a number two guy, 800 yards, some touchdowns, and some spectacular plays. He's just not what he was because Father Time is undefeated.
Except for Barry Bonds. He got better with age.
He did.
Brooks Koepka had a good weekend in Singapore, winning the LIV Golf event.
Oh, boy.
That's his fourth win on the LIV Tour.
Unprecedented fourth win, Shark.
Yes. And
Tiger Woods never won four tournaments in a row on the LIV.
Not four in a row.
Neither did Jack.
LIV, we will never know if Brooksy would have won had they played the fourth round, but it was postponed by the LIV rules.
Postponed by the format.
And because he couldn't chew gum, we're in Singapore where it's illegal to chew gum. But anyway.
Is it really?
Yeah. You get lashed in public if you ever are caught with gum spitting out that stuff on the ground. And anyway. It's very clean over there in Singapore.
I don't know if I could ever live in Singapore then.
I don't know how Phil Mickelson plays over there because that dude's always chomping.
Great question.
Anyway, Liv's going to take a month off, and that means Brooksy.
They need a month off after that.
Well, yeah, because they started that tour 6 weeks ago, and they're really tired after playing all those three-round tournaments. Anyway, Bob, I digress. What do you think his chances are for winning that wonderful PGA championship next week?
I'd say pretty good. He's got a couple of them.
I wouldn't bet against him in a major. Not in the PGA and not in the U.S. Open anyways.
Current guys, Shark, who are playing who have won, we're excluding Tiger and Phil. Yeah. Like, they're not realistic contenders. Is there somebody that's been more successful in majors than Brooksy?
No. Yeah, no way.
There's no current guy that you would define as in their, quote, prime than Brooksy.
Scheffler's on the track, but
he hasn't won five.
Got two. Yeah, he's got two. Rombo's got two of them.
Rory's got four.
Yeah, but he hasn't won one in a decade.
I thought you just meant over the period of time that Brooks has been around, because they've pretty much been around the same amount of time. JT's won two, but he's going nowhere.
He's a mess. Spieth has three of them, but he's
got those in a hurry.
He's a lunatic. Yeah, I think his odds on FanDuel are 20-1. Like that. I mean, that seems like a pretty nice little odds if you're going to throw something down on Brooksy to win at Valhalla.
Second best odds behind Scheffler.
Sharky, let me pull that up now for the PGA Championship right now. Brooks is current. Well, it's down to 16-1, so it dropped from 20-1. What I was looking at yesterday. Scotty's at 4-1, which way low. Rory is at 11-1. Rombo's at 15-1. How about Ludvig Åberg at 15-1 as well? And then Brooksy at fifth best at 16-1, right behind Xander Schauffele, and then Wyndham Clark as well. So I don't know, man. Again, I wouldn't bet against Brooks Koepka in a major, especially a PGA championship.
But will you bet on him?
I won't. I'm just saying, I wouldn't bet against him.
That's kind of like Scheffler. I wouldn't bet against Scheffler, but I wouldn't bet on him because it's only 4-1.
Yeah, what's the point in doing that? My favorite annual sporting tradition happened this weekend, and no, I'm not talking about the Kentucky Derby. That and the re-rack next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now we are watching slow-moving traffic on I-670 westbound, just west of the 670-71 split. Right now multiple lanes are blocked because of a crash. Crews are working to clear right at High Street. Again, this is in those westbound lanes of 670. Expect delays if you're coming in from the east side. I'm 10 TV's Amy Steckerwald with your fan traffic.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Swiping that card, baby. Keep on swiping that card. Charge it to winning. This is Morning Juice.
Hour number two of the program for us on a Monday. Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark coming up here 7:35 this morning. We're going to check in with Tony Gerdeman and Buckeye Huddle. Talk about some off-season Buckeye football, off-season Buckeye basketball, too. Nice little transfer portal edition over the weekend for the Buckeye basketball team. Tony Gerdeman, he's going to join us around 7:35 this morning. And then, as always, Joshua Perry, he's going to round out the program with us, as he does every single Monday, coming up here around 8:35. So, Gerds at 7:35, and then Joshua Perry coming up here at 8:35.
Keeping you informed about what's trending this morning, it's time for a little re-rack on Morning Juice.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus, your destination for top-of-the-line grills with up to 30-year warranties. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Reds had a nice weekend. Swept at home by the Orioles. They've lost 5 in a row. Diamondbacks at home tomorrow for them. Guards get 2-3 at home against the Angels, so that was pretty good. They get the Tigers at home starting tonight. I think that's a 6-10 first pitch up there in Cleveland. So yesterday, just hanging out. It was pretty nice out. It was muggy out yesterday.
Yeah.
I thought... So, get up, hang out a little bit, hang out with William. Meredith's got some stuff to do. We're hanging out, going on a nice little walk yesterday. Okay, that's pretty cool. Hang out, have some lunch. William goes down for a nap. He wakes up from his afternoon nap. I'm like, all right, let's check and see what the Cavs are doing. So, Sharky, I watched the first quarter and a half of that game at 1 o'clock, and I thought JB Bickerstaff was going to get fired at halftime. Sitting there, I'm like, this is not a good situation for them.
Damn. What do you want out of your entertainment?
Yeah.
Fun and?
Drama.
There you go, Shark.
And it was dramatic in the first half.
Was it a dramatic game for you?
It was very dramatic.
That's right.
So was Friday's.
That's what you love.
And then,
they wanted to, it was a dramatic series, Shark. They didn't want you to get too comfortable. And some people say the series never even started because no one won a road game.
Right. How does a series end without a beginning?
Time is a flat circle.
Donovan Mitchell in the third quarter was great. 17 points in the third quarter. What did the Magic have? 15, I think?
Yeah. How about Donovan Mitchell, who was it game 3 or 4? He got blanked in the second half?
Three or four. One of those was on the road.
I think it was 3 because they had a chance to go up 3-0 and he had 17 the first and then got blanked in the second. He goes, listen, I get paid too much for this. I can't be like that. And he was not playing great in the first half. You know, not terrible, but, and then there's 17 in the third, and you're like, you know what? This is why they brought you in, buddy, to help close out and when they needed you in the second half. When they needed you the most.
You gave them their best.
That's right.
And Bob, he started the game 2-for-10 yesterday, and I thought,
I said,
but that's while Beamer was watching.
Didn't play great. Didn't play great in the first half.
So I get
that. I think it's Beamer's fault.
I do too.
Did you turn it off in the middle of the second quarter?
Well, I turned it off because Meredith got home from what she was doing, and I told, I'm like, I'm going to go outside and I'm going to mow the grass. I'm going to do some yard work. I got some trimming I need to
Basically what happened is, Meredith got home and said, Brandon, get your butt outside and get some work done.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. She was even hanging out on the couch too long today. So I went outside, got my yard work done, was feeling really good, got it looking nice. My neighbor has these big, this big like helicopter tree, so just we got stuff all over the place.
Oh, those are the worst. Yeah. I mean, any trees that drop stuff, it's
I know. It's awful. It's so we can't even like really mulch like that much because we want all of those to drop first before that happens. So I was out there, I was doing some trimming yesterday, I was blowing a little bit. It was, you know, got the yard mode. So by the time that I got done and we got back inside, William was playing with the water table at that point. He was soaking
wet. Theo was drinking from the water table.
Of course, yeah, of course. So we had that going for us, which is nice. And then I got back and I got back inside. I'm like, let's turn on this Cavs game, see if they had pulled off a, you know, some
like
of the,
you
some
turn
of the
it
run.
On, Bean, but you almost don't want to look at
I
it.
I know. I didn't want to like look at my phone either because I'm like, I don't want the immediate gratification. I wanted to jump in. I'm like, because they've got to have like 5 minutes, 4 minutes left to go in this game. So then I hop back into it, Shark, and I saw they had what, like an 8-point lead with like 5 minutes left to go, 10-point lead, whatever it was. And then they held that bad boy all the way to the end. So 106-94, your final score. No road team won a game in the opposition's building. First playoff series victory since 2018. And what did you say in the update, Shark? First playoff series with win without LeBron since
93.
Since 1990.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow. Doherty, Price, Hot Rod, Nance, all those guys.
I mean, Elo.
Elo.
It's been 31 years since they've had a playoff series win without LeBron, and they got that done yesterday. Yeah, everything that I was seeing, though, on Twitter, Shark, and I was feeling for you watching the game, I'm like, J.B. Bickerstaff's going to be gone, like gone, gone, gone. He was just getting roasted. And they had a nice little turnaround in the second half. So they draw in against Boston. Boston are massive favorites in this series.
Of course they are. They should be.
I mean, just massive favorites. So if you look across the NBA, and now our conference semifinals are set. The New York Knicks go into the Pacers series. The Knicks are favored at -265 to win the series. All right. The Indiana Pacers are at +210. Out in the West,
I think that's pretty good value on the Pacers.
Yeah, it's not bad. Out in the West, you have the Nuggets, defending champions, at +108. Timberwolves and Anthony Edwards at -132. Okay, so that one is obviously very close. And then a series getting underway here this week. The Thunder, the number one seed in the West, are -120. Mavs at -102. So both of them on the pretty minus tight. Side of the pop right there. You want to take a guess as to what the Cavs and the Celtics odds are?
Let's say Celtics -280, Cavs +310.
The Boston Celtics are -1600.
Oh, that's
for the series,
that's
which
to
means
win it all.
No, that's just.
That's why I mean. Never mind.
That's to win the series.
Cavs +1600 to win it all.
It is. So the Celtics. So for you have to put $1,600 down to win $100. Yeah. The Cavs are +820 to win the series against the Celtics. That's 8-1 odds in the second round of the NBA playoffs. And Jared Allen had to be in so much pain yesterday because we mentioned last week that guy played, what, 81 straight game, Shark?
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, like, he's got a ribs injury from Mr. Franz Wagner, which derailed him. But their odds are as long as you're going to find here with only eight teams remaining in it.
So I'm saying,
NBA
like, their odds, what is the Timberwolves' odds to win it all?
To win the finals?
Yeah.
They are 6-1.
They're shorter than the Cavs just to win this series.
Yeah, yeah.
So for them to win...
The Thunder have the shorter semifinal? Odds to win the NBA finals so I'm saying, than the Cavs do to win this series.
They've got
to
win the conference semis.
Yeah.
The conference finals, then the NBA finals.
Yeah, three more series.
Against good teams in the West. And you're getting 6-1. And what'd you say the... Grizzlies were
the Thunder 8-1.
I mean, 8-1. So you got 8-1 and 6-1. Yeah. Like, that's two teams that are equal or better than
the Celtics are +105 to win the NBA championship.
Really,
+105 to win the entire thing. If you want to take the field, that's -140 against the Celtics, +105.
I would definitely take the field.
I would too.
If you can get that bet, that's you can get that. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
FanDuel?
Yeah.
There we go.
-140. One of my favorite playoff post.
Anybody but the Celtics.
One of my favorite postseason traditions continued over the weekend. On Saturday evening, I was watching the Boston Bruins take on the Toronto Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs go up 1-0 in the third period. Bruins immediately answer back. It's 1-1. And what do we do? What do we love to do? Overtime, Game 7, NHL Stanley Cup playoffs.
There we go.
Boston Bruins end up winning the game 2-1. I was elated, overjoyed. I was like, my favorite thing is the Toronto Maple Leafs crashing out of the playoffs. And the reason why I have this, I guess, very severe dislike for the Toronto Maple Leafs organization. There's nothing that they've done, like, organizationally.
They've kind of crapped on the Jackets a lot.
So this was 10 years ago, and this was the main reason why I don't like the Toronto Maple Leafs. And again, it has nothing to do with the organization. This just came from Curtis Rush, sports reporter of the Toronto Star. This was dated April 4th of 2014. So this is 10 years ago, and I have held this disdain for 10 years. Ready for this article?
Let's do it.
Now, I have nothing personally against Columbus, and I'm sure it's a nice football city, but there is no way in hockey's vast universe that this Ohio capital should be bumping the hockey capital of Canada from the Stanley Cup playoff map. Now, if I remember 10 years ago, it was the Jackets trying to get in. It's like the last seed, and they were going up against the Maple Leafs, and it was a nice little playoff hunt they had going on. Here are 10 reasons why it's a bad idea for Columbus to knock out Toronto and nail down a wild card playoff spot.
Oh, no.
Number one, Columbus is not the world-class city that Toronto is.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't care that Columbus has a famous zoo and aquarium. I don't care that Forbes last year gave it an A rating as one of the top cities for business in the United States. And I don't care that Columbus was named one of the most intelligent cities by the U.S., by the Intelligent Committees Communities Forum. Toronto is world-class in culture, sports, the arts, and has the most famous mayor in the world. That was a good job.
Well, I will give him this.
It was a nice little tongue
Rob, I don't know. Listen, back in the day, I mean, Mayor Coleman, that... I'm not saying that he's Rob Ford, but he might be able to give him a run for his money on any given weekend.
Number two.
Coleman, also at Gene Smith's retirement.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Looking good?
Looking good, as always.
Number two, you can have your Ohio State Buckeyes, whatever a Buckeye is, and what the heck is a Blue Jacket anyway? Yes, it was inspired by Ohio Civil War history. Everyone knows what a Maple Leaf is. Legions of fans were the Maple Leaf in every NHL city.
If it wasn't for General Sherman, you might be speaking Confederacy as well, Canada.
Yeah, let's pump the brakes there, big dog.
It may have just went all the way up. Forget stopping at Ohio. They may have taken Toronto from you.
How many Blue Jackets jerseys do you see at Maple Leafs games? Number three, another sore point, the team logo. It's a stylized version of the Ohio, well, the state of Ohio flag. No comparison to the simple and dignified beauty of the Maple Leaf. Now, here's one I think that you can you're going to glom on.
If they want to say they have a better mascot, because Stinger, if there was a public execution of the Stinger mascot, I would be all for it. You know what we could do, Shark? We get some giant cans of Raid and spray them down, but instead of Raid being in there, it's actually kerosene, and then we burn it.
Number four. Now, I know Carlton the Bear isn't the most famous mascot in the NHL, but he's got to be better than the Columbus mascot called Stinger, who is a 6'9" bright green bug that walks among the crowd.
It's terrible. I mean, Carlton the Bear, he's not even the most famous Carlton around.
No. The Carlton is.
Yes.
It's called the Carlton for a reason. Number five, there's no media to speak of in Columbus, and the NHL loves cities with lots of media coverage. What are you talking about? We talk to a Blue Jacket every day during the season.
What are you talking about?
Right,
they're moving a team to Utah right now. Yeah. They're putting them wherever they can.
Columbus.
Because Winnipeg has in their vast media coverage, like, get out of here.
Columbus has only one daily newspaper, the Columbus Dispatch. When the Leafs play, there are dozens of reporting asking what Morgan Riley eats for breakfast. You have all-day sports radio here making the study of minutes of ice time award to Troy Brody and Nazim Kadri.
You have all-day live and local programming here on The Fan, and we dedicate Beam at least one segment a day during the season, unfortunately, to the Jackets.
There are five more to go reasons why the Toronto Maple Leafs are a superior franchise than the Columbus Blue Jackets. We'll do those next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan. Shark.
Shark is asleep. Balance test.
What?
We just teased going to break.
Please wake up.
The next five reasons coming up next on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now we are still watching major delays on 670 westbound near the 670-71 split. Right now there is a crash near High Street that has those westbound lanes very slow moving. Expect to add a few minutes to your commute if you're heading on 670 westbound. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan traffic.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Here's a list of undisputed facts. Beamer is round. Shark was a swinger. And no one derails a show like Bobby Carpenter. No one. This is Morning Juice.
Toronto Maple Leafs crash and burn in the playoffs again. Nice little game seven for them up in Boston. They go up 1-0. Boom, all of a sudden goes into overtime. It's 1-1. They lose 2-1 against the Bruins. Not to say I'm the biggest diehard Bruins fan in the world, but you better believe I was cheering for them on Saturday night. Now, where we just left you was 10 reasons why it's bad for the Columbus Blue Jackets to bump the Toronto Maple Leafs out of the NHL playoffs. Again, this article is dated in April 4th of 2014. So this is 10 years old, and I still hold on hatred from this article, which is why they're my least likable professional sports franchise ever in existence now. Number six, the Blue Jackets were founded in 2000. Cliff Fletcher has socks older than that. Heck, Leafs, Jerry DiAmigo has a beard older than that. The Leafs have been playing in the NHL since the league was born. Can you say original six? All right, first of all, you haven't won a Stanley Cup since 1967, so let's pump the brakes here, big dog, all right?
Yeah.
Like you've been some kind of...
Oh, exactly. They've been some sort of juggernaut that's been dominating the NHL landscape. They have not done
anything. You're an original six, but you always...
That's fine.
...flame out in the playoffs.
Hey, you know who else was early on? This would be like the Browns versus if they moved a team to Canada, started a Toronto football team.
Yeah, exactly.
And the Browns have been historically really good. They haven't been good lately, though.
No, they haven't.
Well, better as of late, but...
Super Bowl incoming for you, Shark, this year. Going to get it done. Number seven, the most famous Maple Leafs of all times have names like Sawchuk, Bohr, Sittler, Sundin. The most famous Columbus Blue Jacket, nothing personal, but Rick Nash around Toronto. Bet you would get as many votes as for Doug McClain on the radio and TV personality who drafted
that
Rick
was
Nash.
Before we hired Mike Babcock, though.
That's right. You're exactly right, Bob. That was before the Babcock hiring.
So, in all fairness, they
former
were...
Maple Leafs head coach.
Exactly.
Who also had some great playoff success there. Pfft, not. Number eight. Okay. If we're not getting too nationalistic on you, but let's just have a mention here that the Blue Jackets have 13 Canadians on their roster. Well, I don't know how many Canadians we have on our roster now. Again, this was 10 years ago. The Leafs have 15, including some guys. No Blue Jackets are from Toronto. Canadians love their hockey, and Canadians love Canadians who play hockey. Yeah, well, we got them on our team, too, now. Number nine, hockey attendance. This one has changed the most, and this is great to look at because the Jackets over the last couple of years have been really bad, and the attendance has been great. Hockey attendance, that matters. Columbus ranks near the bottom of the NHL in attendance. The Leafs are a virtual sellout every game with almost 20,000 fans getting in and thousands more trying to get in. And Columbus attendance has been on a steady decline since the team's inception in the past few seasons. They haven't been able to get more than 15,000 in the building. They averaged 18,000 fans in the stands this year, and we've been out of playoff contention for the last 2 years since the season started. All right, first month of the season's over for us.
Well, in all fairness, it may have been over in July when they fired their coach.
It was September.
Whatever, I don't know.
We hired him in July. It was gone in September. Just a disaster. That is such a disaster.
And still, on a Tuesday night in mid-February, you've still got 17,500 people there. It was packed.
Watching for nothing. No reason.
So the attendance, yes. I definitely take offense to that.
Number 10, none of the reporters in Columbus feel our pain. In their game reports, you'd be hard-pressed to even find a mention that Toronto is breathing down their own necks in hope of bumping them out of a playoff spot. How naughty of them. Here in Toronto, the reporters and talk show hosts make daily references to Columbus, and Columbus is likely showing up in their nightmares, too. I'm glad he got that one right. I'm glad he got that one right. And we did indeed bump them out of the playoff race that year.
That's good.
You want to hear some nice little nuggets from them in elimination games since 2018, so the last 6 years?
Yeah, give me some of the stats, the facts, Beam.
Toronto Maple Leafs in potential series-clinching games since 2018, they have played in 12 of them. They are 1-11.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Goals per game for them, 2.00 average. So they've averaged 2 goals a game over that time.
It's pretty solid offense.
Goals output, against per probably. Game, 3.17.
Yeah.
So they're below the Mendoza line on that. I want to take a guess. They've had 25 power play opportunities in those 12 games. Do you want to take a guess at what their number is, Bob?
Is it going to be resembling the Blue Jackets power play?
It's worse, actually.
Well, that makes me feel better then. So the Jackets are about like 19%.
Mm-hmm.
So 21 opportunities, you said?
25 opportunities, yeah.
Let's say 3.
They are 1-for-25 in their 25 power play opportunities since 2018 in elimination games. Their penalty kill percentage is 72, and their save percentage is below the 90 marker at 89.9%.
That's solid. I mean, Bean, they're putting up some nice stats there for you. Now it's no wonder why they haven't been that good in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. I mean, just to have the pompous attitude, it's too much for me. It's too much. holier than thou. We belong. This is going to be our run to the cup. You got Matthews.
Who do they need? They need to bring
all kinds of good people out there. Good, great players. Unbelievable regular season.
They need to bring Coach Ron to shape them up a little bit.
Ron Ullery?
And yeah, reset expectations there. Senior, captain, leader. Cowboy.
See, individual.
I mean, they're up there thinking that they're the cock of the walk and just getting thrashed in the playoffs. And here's the thing. This is one thing that really bothers me in life. You don't have to put someone else down to elevate yourself.
Of course not.
Toronto's a flagship franchise of the NHL. Original Six. Everybody knows that. They've got a strong following. It's honestly a pretty great city. You don't have to crap on Columbus to make yourself feel better. If you do, that says more about you than anything else. And this little D-bag that wrote that, I mean, that's what I'm saying, buddy. Like, you're that insecure about yourself that you feel the need that you have to bring up historical facts and references. Everybody knows those things. Like, I'll even concede the fact that Stinger's the worst mascot in the history of sports. It's the Blue Jackets that pays umbrage to the Civil War, not some fictional insect that flies around.
Oh, come on.
Looks like he's out of Bug's Life.
You love Stinger.
I would love to burn Stinger. Burn that outfit. Preferably with the human out of it, but I'll take it either way.
I told you the best idea that Schlegs had when he was on the show is a live mascot of a like Civil War ring.
Yes.
We have those guys. They stand by the cannon.
Absolutely. Just give that dude a beard and give him some whiskey and a flask and an old school rifle. Like, let's go. He could walk around and be great.
I can't tell you how excited I was on Saturday.
Like the guy, like Tom Cruise's character in Last Samurai. He would be like that.
When Saturday night rolled around and I was watching that game and I'm like, I can't deal with them winning this playoff series. And then the Bruins scored an unbelievable goal, like right off the boards. Puck just bounced back to a Bruins player, slotted it home. I mean, I was thrilled. And again, I have no affiliation for the city of Boston.
Believe me, I am not a Bruins
fan. No, me either.
What's his name? The little dude.
Oh, your guy Brad Marchand.
Marchand. Yeah. I do not like him. But due to the arrogance of Toronto, I liked him less.
Buckeye Hoops added a nice piece of the portal over the weekend. We're going to check in with Tony Gerdeman and a Buckeye Huddle about it next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. Right now, we are still watching delays on 670 westbound near the 71 split. Right now, there is a crash at High Street again in the westbound lanes of 670 that have delays trickling back to Leonard Avenue. Expect to add a couple minutes to your commute if you're using 670 westbound. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan traffic.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the going rate for a good babysitter? Also, Shark needs a raise. You're listening to Morning Juice.
Here's Law here, a little Monday edition of the program. Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark. Right now, we're going to head out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Check with our good friend, Buckeye Huddle. He is Tony Gerdeman. Gerd, thanks for the time, buddy. Always appreciate it. Before we get to some football talk, let's do a little hardwood. Sean Stewart out of Duke announced on Friday afternoon that he was hitting the portal and he's going to come here to Ohio State. It's been a nice little stretch here for Jake Diebler in his first offseason as head man in charge for the Buckeyes, Gerd.
Yeah, again, some high upside guys that can help in the paint. And, you know, with Michi a while back, you got some backcourt help. So I think they've upgraded the talent and the depth as well. I still think they need some shooting. If they can find a shooter to go with all of this, then they've kind of covered their bases and replaced what they've lost and also maybe upgraded a bit as well.
Are they one down on the scholarship count right now, Gerd?
I believe that is where they are, but I was out of town yesterday. But I think that's where they are.
I mean, I know the shooting element, that's kind of what everybody's looking for in the portal. Are there any shooters out there? Is there anybody that they're in on right now? And do you think this is a portal acquisition or they're potentially looking at, you know, you signing a high school guy and kind of where do you think this ratio will land for this team?
Yeah, I don't, you know, with there are so many guys in the portal right now. And in terms of like finding that guy, I think that is.
Does Jake's brother have any eligibility left? Where's a guy you like that? Do they have anyone that's like that? Find John. That's what we look for, John.
I'm sure David Leidy has to have at least one more year, right? But there are shooters, but I don't think you're going to find somebody that's going to come in and start. You know, you still just, I think maybe a guy off the bench that can stretch a defense a bit and open it up for some of these slashers that they've got now and some of these guys in the paint so that you can't just bog them down. But, you know, you'll see guys like Devin Royal will continue to improve his range. And we saw him shooting it, you know, last year. I think when you're seeing young guys shoot it, that tells you that they make it in practice. It's when nobody shoots it. When they don't shoot it, it tells you like they don't have that range. So with Devin Royal shooting it, it's kind of like EJ Liddell early on in his career. He would shoot it and wasn't making it. So the potential is there. And, you know, see what Junie Mobley can do. He's a high upside guard as well.
Gerd, I know you were the one who kind of broke the news that John Diebler wasn't able to come back here to Ohio State to work for his brother Jake because of nepotism laws in Ohio. I mean, do we have an update to that? Like, because that was a crazy story a couple of weeks ago that you wouldn't be allowed to hire his brother John, who is, I mean, very well qualified to take an assistant coaching. He's an assistant coach right now for Thad. It was just crazy to me.
Yeah, and you saw somewhere else in state just recently, a state school where a head coach hired his twin brother. But his twin brother had been an assistant coach for like 10 years. So I really think that was the biggest issue, is just the lack of experience between both of them. One, Jake being a head coach for the first time, John Diebler really only being, you know, a recruiting type person. You know, he's been on staffs, but hasn't been an assistant coach yet. So I think that this is Ohio. There are so many ways around every law. And that was, I just think there wasn't enough experience to get around that one.
Yeah, I can understand that. But now they could bring him in just to play. Like, I think there's a COVID year. I mean, how does that work? If we need to knock down Shearer, I feel like, honestly, Gers, as you look at this, I mean, he's kind of the last knockdown guy that they've had here.
Man, and, you know, you've got guys that have been compared to him since, or like, you know, if you could just get a John Diebler type. Yeah, the John Diebler type ended his career as the all-time Big Ten leader, Big Ten leader in three-point shooting. Maybe what you do is you throw like a Fu Manchu on John Diebler and maybe put him in a mullet. And nobody would be any the wiser.
I wanted Amadeo Della Valle so bad to be John Diebler, and he just wasn't. Then he had a really good career, like he's having a really good career over in Italy. So I don't know.
Burns.
Yeah, exactly. Like all these different guys who have come through, just like, yep, that's not going to be John Diebler for us. But maybe that guy is still out there. Maybe we'll put a Fu Manchu on John and bring him in as a transfer portal addition as we check in with Tony Gerdeman and Buckeye Huddle with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Pretty quiet portal front for the football team, Gerd. I mean, I know that they ultimately landed at 6 when the portal closed last week, but you start to look at the guys, like outside of Dallin Hayden, there's not a huge impact player who jumped in the portal the second time around.
Yeah, and I guess we should assume like maybe the impact guys leave in a winter, but I also believe that the amount of communication that goes on between players and coaches and collectives, where, you know, I don't know if this happens at Ohio State, but other places where guys are like, I'm going to leave. And just so you know, the agents get involved where it's made known that my guy's going to leave. So now you have time to keep them over, you know, the winter, between the winter and the spring portal window. But for Ohio State, what they did, you know, I don't know how many people thought they'd have 5 quarterbacks after spring, especially early in spring, seeing what was going on. And you're just wondering, like, how does this happen? And, you know, Caden Curry, defensive end this spring, was asked, like, you know what, why did you stay around? And then he was also asked, why do you think you get asked why you stay around? And he's like, I think people are just looking for answers that they think they would give in terms of, they're just looking for a story in terms of, you know, you're always pushing people out. And I wrote back in March, like, you know, let's just be patient with quarterbacks. Let's stop pushing them out before they even have an established mailing address. Let's let them compete. And with these guys, you know, Lincoln Keenhole said this spring, like, if I don't win the job this year, I'm just going to use that to build on it for next year. And Devin Brown said he's not going anywhere. So you know, the circumstances of these guys where the quarterbacks want to compete, they want to grow. There are a few better places to be a quarterback than at Ohio State. Eventually you want to play. But you know, if you don't play in your first 2 years as a quarterback, that's no, you know, shame in that.
So as we look at this, Buckeye basketball, very active in the portal, acquiring some talent. Buckeye football on the other side of it, though, pretty quiet on the spring. You know, six guys enter, a little bit light on scholarships. Do you see Ohio State potentially adding anybody since the portal's fixed at this point? I haven't seen anybody that I would define as a high Ohio State caliber starter who could be pulled out of there.
Yeah, and at this point, I don't know that they're looking for starters. I think they're looking for a replacement for, like, Jahad Carter at safety, where you're not looking for a starter. You're just looking for somebody who has experience and could step in if there are injuries, and that's one thing they've had in the secondary over the years is injuries. And the way the coaches keep talking about this 16-game schedule, they're expecting injuries even more so. So I think you're looking for guys like that that can step in if need be so that you don't have to rely on a freshman or someone like that. So I think they're looking at safety, and I still think they're kind of thin at receiver. I don't know that there's anybody necessarily out there for them right now. So nobody's going to cry for Ohio State's receiver situation, so I don't know if they'll be able to land anybody there. But it's just depth pieces at this point, and you know, I think they're going to ride with what they've got at offensive line, because frankly, if you look at what's out there in the offensive line, there's not much out there.
Gerd, before we get you out of here, I want you to kind of put your wizard hat on for a little bit. What does college football look like here in the next 8 to 10 years? I mean, obviously had the big lawsuit, the NIL lawsuit against the NCAA, $2.7 billion they're going to have to pay over 10 years. Now, that's not like finalized or anything. Super conferences being lobbied out there. Like, just how do you think this is going to look, you know, in 10 years' time?
Yeah, I think you're going to have the football schools playing football, and you're going to have some schools like that are going to have to decide, do I want to be a football school? And there's so much money that you jump in and you see if you can make it. Like an SMU would want to be that, and they've got the base to be able to do that, but it's like, you know, they haven't been that in so long. But you know, schools like Purdue and Indiana won't want to give up what they've had, so they're going to do what they can to stay involved. And I don't see like the Big Ten or the SEC getting rid of their brotherhood, but I think it's going to be big programs, and then you know, everybody else falls into the group of five kind of category. And I think the question there is, does the group of five eventually do their own playoff? And if they do, is that a fun big thing, or does it become like an FCS thing where it's a novelty in terms of who actually watches those tournament games? So yeah, you're going to see some differences, but I think it's still ultimately going to be recognizable as college football.
Gerd, always appreciate the time. Thanks for hopping on with us here this morning. Have a great rest of the week, buddy, and we'll check in again soon. All right.
Talk to you guys later.
There goes Tony Gerdeman at Buckeye Huddle with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline.
Absolutely, and it's almost pool season. It was nice and warm this weekend, and maybe a little chillier, but less. If you want to get in great shape, go see my people over at Affinity Whole Health, the leaders in the testosterone hormone replacement therapy game. They're not there just to optimize your T levels, which they can do that too. They're also there for weight loss. That's right. So they can help you lose weight and alleviate the symptoms that come with low T. Affinity offers semaglutide injections for weight loss in addition to testosterone treatments, so you can say goodbye to low energy, low libido. Say hello to weight loss and muscle gain. How great does that sound? And we can cruise around Columbus, Bourbon Street, pools, shirtless just like me, hanging out and have a great time. They'll get you in the best, to be the best version of yourself that you can be at this point. So go to feelgreatcolumbus.com. That's feelgreatcolumbus.com to check them out.
Whole heck of a lot to be juiced about over the weekend. We do that next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. We are still watching major delays on I-670 westbound. This is as you approach the 71-670 split. There are lanes blocked at High Street because of a crash from earlier this morning. Expect to add some time to your commute on 670 westbound. We are also watching slow-moving traffic on the ramp from 270 eastbound to 23 southbound on the south side. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your Fan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In high school, Bobby was a district swimming finalist. Also, Beamer still wears floaties. This is Morning Juice.
We here on the Juice are brought to you by our good friends over at Affinity Whole Health, the leader in testosterone and hormone replacement therapy. You can always visit them online at feelgreatcolumbus.com.
What's got you juiced?
Sponsored by Newman Roofing. Call Newman Roofing today at 614-NEW-ROOF or visit online at newmanroofing.com.
Oh, Bob, little Monday, coming off a busy weekend, buddy. What's got you fired up today?
Oh, man. Long, busy weekend. Tired today, Beam. Very, very tired. Everything going on. It's got me juiced. I want to wish my lovely wife, Courtney, a happy birthday. And my former teammate, Jason Witten, they share the same birthday. Share with Willie Mays. And her and Jay, same age. And we've been celebrating birthdays together for a long time with them. So big happy birthday to her. Trey, we had a family reunion this weekend. Got a chance to see some of my cousins and aunts and uncles who I don't get to see a ton, coming from all over the country, East Coast, West Coast, everywhere there. Pretty phenomenal, too. I've got a cousin who's pregnant, and then one of my cousins' wives is pregnant. And it's fantastic. My mom's the youngest of seven. She's got some older six older brothers. Five of them are still with us. And they're very close family, very forward with their conversations and things. Mm-hmm. And I asked my cousin, I was like, how many of your uncles have rubbed your stomach here? Unsolicited. She's like, multiple. And then yeah. I asked the same thing to my cousin's wife, the other one who's pregnant. Like, and they're very pregnant, like 7-8 months.
Yeah.
And do it this summer, like I think August and like end of June.
Okay, yeah, so that's coming up.
Yeah, and she's like, yeah, I was like, do you even say anything? She's like, what's the point? Like, you know, I mean, why? And then it's funny watching their kids, like, you can't just go and do that to people. Why? What? I mean, it's just, it's fun. It is a lot of fun. It was entertaining. Up late, having some cocktails and on Saturday night and sharing some great stories. Really enjoyed that. So that was fun. Successful. Little lacrosse, McLean, they, in the 7th grade girls at Arlington, they were in a 7th, 8th grade tournament. They ended up losing in the finals in the championship to, I believe, Marymount.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken, but played really well. A bunch of 8th grade teams, they all played. Like I said, they were all 7th graders. Cullen, they ended up winning their little lacrosse. We were Dublin and then Obetz. I mean, really had the whole city circled there, Beam. And it didn't rain at all, so that was a huge positive.
Yeah.
And I was just looking through some of the race results for Cullen's track meet over at DeSales. They got second in the 4x2, second in the 4x1, and he finished 9th just out of the points in the long jump. It's a 4th and 5th grade deal, so he's got another year in that. So he was pretty excited and fired up. And probably the best thing that I was juiced up about, went over there, was at DeSales. They had a meet there earlier this year. Championship meet. Adults to get in, $3. Students to get in, $2. Same price for credit card or cash.
Nice.
So made it super easy. I was like, you know what? I can get behind this.
Thank you.
This is fantastic. You know what? I'm here to make sure it costs money to open the facilities. You got to clean some stuff up. Things are good. Cash wasn't like $25. And to get in on a cashless ticket was $10. I mean, it was $2 and $3. And you know what? They did a great job. DeSales was a great host of it. So thank you to them for getting that done and having a nice little weekend as well. And then also Gene Smith's retirement on Friday night. It was a great event. Got to listen to some great stories about him as, you know, tight little group up in the stadium. And it was awesome for a guy who'd been here that long. And Ross was there and joked with him, like, hey, maybe 19 years we'll be doing this for you. He's like, I don't know if I have 19 in me. We'll start with a decade.
If they'll have me.
Yeah, we'll start with a decade and work from there. Well, I didn't realize he was 51. And he's like, I'm not working until I'm 70 years old. Not at that job anyway. It's a long one. So I'm sure he's going to be doing a great job here for a long time into the future. Shark, let's listen to a little David Goggins to get you juiced up on this Monday.
He called me out. Say, hey, Goggins, come here. You know, when a Navy SEAL calls you out, got to push you through 3 hell weeks. You're like, you know what? I got to go to the gym and lift heavy now. So we're doing squats, deadlifts, power cleans, heavy bench presses. And I'm thinking, I have to run 100 miles tomorrow. But I also knew he was coming out there to watch me. So I was like, you know what? You put me through 3 hell weeks. You were my instructor. So now it's my turn to educate you on what a human can do. Because I know you could be sitting there thinking while you're watching me with your wife and your kid, and you just worked out with me the night before. We went real heavy. You could sit there while you watched me run around this 1-mile track. How the f*** is he doing that right now? We lifted heavy as hell, and he's run 100 miles and never has run past 20 miles in his life.
It's a great story. He talks about it in his book, and he shows up there. I think all he had was like some mile plug shakes and things like that, and running, I mean, literally 400 laps around a track. After most people are probably like getting a massage, stretching out, he's doing heavy deadlifts, heavy squats, beam, getting a full Schlegelvelly, leg day, Schlegs day, getting it rolling.
Stay hard.
Don't be soft, beam. Shark, what's Schlegs got to say?
When you can't stop the run, it affects your manhood because toughness in the game of football is running the football and stopping the run.
I am juiced that today one of my favorite Buckeyes, Cam Hayward, is having his 35th birthday. Yeah. Not one of my favorite Steelers. Well, he would be one of my favorite Steelers all time, but I don't have favorite Steelers. But anyway.
Where's Justin Fields rank as a favorite Steeler?
Oh, gosh. Don't remind me. Great kick returner, yes. Justin Fields.
Crazy.
I neglected to play this during this date in history, so I'll do it right now. Take it away, Keelsey.
Harrison, a shotgun, Barry to his right. Third and goal, Miami at Ohio State's 9. Buckeyes lead at 26-17. Snap to Harris, back to throw, up the middle. He shoots, and it is intercepted again by Ohio State. Is that Cameron Hayward bringing up the left side?
Go, Cam,
he's at the 50-yard line. Defensive end Cameron Hayward to the Miami 30.
He's got a
to
ball.
The 20-yard line. He's still going, and he stopped at Miami's 15-yard line.
I honestly don't remember that.
I don't either.
I don't remember him having
what
like
year
a
does it say that
yard?
Was?
It's going to be like 2009, 10?
It was against, that was Miami of Ohio, by the way, not the Miami.
Cam, September 11th of 2010.
Look at that.
September 11th,
I know, I missed Cam by a year. He came in right after.
I mean, Miami's getting, no, this is the U, too. It's not Miami of Ohio. I mean, it's the U.
It was the year.
It was the year.
It was the year before.
Unbelievable play. I'm watching it right now on YouTube. Cam Hayward. Okay, that's cool. Line it up right at like the outside shoulder technique of the guard. Drops back into coverage from an interior defensive line spot. Comes right across the middle and just picks this ball and runs all
he's
the way down there.
He's about 60 pounds bigger than that now.
He's looking monster. Trim in this interception clip.
But that was before, Shark, the return trip to Miami the next year where we had the Bazooka Joe show down there, Joe Bowserman starting.
Braxton get in that game?
He, I think, maybe did at the end because it was an...
It was a demonstration
in offensive futility that day.
Yeah, that one and the Nebraska game when we had the 27-6 lead,
I was in
and Braxton got hurt and Bowserman came in. I think maybe we had one first down the
entire
second
half. That was like bleeding
half.
To death in a desert.
It was awful.
With water being like right on the other side, you just couldn't get there.
Bazooka Joe that day, 2 of 14 for 13 yards.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive.
And he ran it for three times for negative 3 yards.
So. Poor Fic. I mean, he started the season against Akron, Bowserman did, and he had a pretty decent day in the opener, and you thought, okay, well, this might be okay with Terrell obviously having to leave a year early. Oh, that was bad.
Yeah,
it was
really bad. Buckeyes had 209 yards of total offense that game.
Against Miami.
209 total yards.
It's pretty good.
174 on the ground, 45 through the air.
Yeah. Not great. I mean, Joe Bowser was throwing it like four rows deep in the stands.
But, you know, we're without Boom. We're without DeVere. Yeah. We're without
Mike Adams at left tackle.
TP, Michael Adams. Yeah. That
Carlos
was
Hyde was your leading receiver. One catch for 12 yards.
There you go. Nice check down. Oh,
man. That's got you fired up today?
Yeah.
What's got me fired up today? Got a little golf in on Saturday. It was my stepdad's birthday, so I was excited about that. Was glad that it stayed dry out for us, even though, I mean, we did have a couple of holes where we put the rain jackets on, and I told him, I was like, you throw your rain jacket on, it's going to quit raining, so you better throw those on. Trending in the right direction with the golf game too, Bob. I feel pretty good about the situation. 82 in my first round, 81 this past weekend. So we're trending in the right way. It was awesome. I was coming off a birdie. I was feeling really good. Step up to a par 3. Played Majestic Springs out in Wilmington. It's a super nice course. Pretty awesome. And stand up the next tee on a par three tee box, hosel shank it, double, right immediately after the birdie. So that got me back down to earth rather quickly.
Hey, giveth and taketh away, Beam.
Yeah, but it was super awesome, man. I was super excited about that. Just be able to celebrate my stepdad's birthday on Saturday with him and surprise him down there was pretty neat. We got to witness some pretty cool history over the weekend. We'll do that in the re-rack coming up next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Good morning. We are still watching delays on 670 westbound right near High Street because of a crash from earlier this morning. Expect delays leading up to the 670-71 split in those westbound lanes of 670. We're also still watching slow moving traffic on the ramp from 270 eastbound to 23 southbound on the south side of town. I'm 10TV's Amy Sagerwald with your fan traffic.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The hardest part of your workday is over. You've managed to get out of your fart sack.
Attention campers, lunch has been canceled today due to lack of hustle. Deal with it.
This is Morning Juice.
Hour number three of the program for us on a Monday. Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark coming up here at 8:35. Our venerable friend Joshua Perry, he's going to join the program and talk all kinds of different stuff with him. And if you missed anything from the first 2 hours of the program, you missed Bill Bender at the 6 o'clock hour, you missed us making fun of the Maple Leafs, you missed Gerd talking some Buckeyes, well, we got a podcast for that. So anything you don't, or you're unable to listen to live, you can head to wherever you get your podcast from, download the show, subscribe to it right after the program is finished around 9:05 every day. That's posted. So Joshua Perry, like I said, coming up here at about 8:35. And you miss anything, just go ahead and download our podcast if you will.
Keeping you informed about what's trending this morning, it's time for a little re-rack on Morning Juice.
Sponsored by Billiards Plus, your destination for top-of-the-line grills with up to 30-year warranties. Billiards Plus on Dublin Center Drive in Dublin.
Sharky, you just mentioned what a nice weekend it was for the Reds. Got swept by the Orioles.
Yeah.
Good job. So they had 11 hits and 2 runs?
2 runs, 11 hits. Not in one game, but in 3 games.
Yeah.
Also, the Orioles starting pitchers through 19 and a third innings this weekend gave up no runs and 6 hits.
Pretty good pitching. Not bad. I mean,
it's a nice rotation they got going.
Not an ideal situation. The Orioles are good. Baseball season's not over in Cincinnati. I saw Herbie tweet this, like, been a fun first month of the year, but it's going to be a long summer. It's like, let's pump the brakes on that a little bit. It's fine. We have a little bit of a slide. Good to see J-Ram get off the schneid. Sharky, guards with a nice little weekend.
Mm-hmm.
See, the difference is, like, Jose Ramirez can do that, and the Guardians still continue to win. They won 2-0-3 at home against the Angels. You got the Tigers at home today. I mean, what's the series counter update, Sharky, against the Tigers? Because I know for, like, you know, 8 out of the last 10 years you've been killing Detroit, but they've kind of evened things up over the last couple of years.
Well,
against
I think the guards have like 13 of their next 16 games are against divisional opponents. So the White Sox, the Twins, the Tigers. So this is where you got to make a little hay, Beam. This is where you, because now, you know, for years we played 19 divisional games. Now you're down to 13. So, yeah.
Have you been up to a game yet this year?
I have not.
When are we getting that done?
Oh, I don't know. That's a good question.
Are we going to a Cavs second-round playoff game?
No. Nope.
Not going to go up there for that?
No.
Why not?
Because
Avalanche?
I don't want to spend that much money to watch us lose.
Don't say that.
If I could guarantee you a game that you go to and they win.
Is it going to be on a weekend or a weeknight?
I'll give you a weekend.
Because I can't get back here by 2 o'clock.
Well, they play at home 8:30 on Saturday evening. You can get in the door for $78.
How about that?
$78?
Yeah.
Man, that can't be a very good seat.
Well, I didn't promise you a good seat. I said I can get you in the door for $78.
I think my seat on the couch watching on TV is going to be a lot better.
Yeah, it's tough to beat the couch seat, is it not? It's really
tough. That's the problem
really
with sports now. That's what they're competing against.
Yeah. You don't have to wait for the line to go to the bathroom or to get a drink. You can just get that done in the commercial breaks. Yeah.
And, you know, when you're watching a game on TV, you know everything that's going on.
You miss
all the replays, all that stuff. When you're in person, you have no idea what's going
on.
None. You go to an Ohio State game, and they're not showing a controversial replay on the scoreboard. So I'll be texting. What did you see? Is the call going to get overturned? You know, whatever. Because you're unaware.
So something that I'm trying to think, in NFL stadiums, they don't show the challenge on the scoreboards either, do they?
Do they? It's up to the place, and some people do. Some people do more than others. It's a crapshoot.
So I don't give a lot of credit usually to Dong Arbor and MLS. I'm not sure if this was his idea, but they introduced something last weekend, MLS did, which so whenever it goes to VAR, the video assistant referee, or video assisted replay or whatever the VAR stands for, they actually now show it up on the big jumbotrons in the stadium, and then a la NFL style, college football style, actually have the refs mic'd up, and he will tell you what went on, like when they come back out. So like that's something new that they just introduced this week, which I would have to imagine would make the in-person viewing experience just a little bit better, because there are so many times, like I won't go to crew games, like Murph will text me like, hey, what, like did Cucho really get red carded? Like what happened with this? I'm like, well, yeah, he kicked someone in the shin, but yeah, you know, like yeah, it just makes great. It so much better if you can see what's going on. And if it's like a controversial decision, to actually be able to see it at the game, I feel like would help that a little bit.
With VAR, do they have the officials on the field looking at the replay, or is there an eye in the sky?
So it will, like offside, it's a very, like, you know, pretty like black and white call. Like that'll be just guys up in the box. But if they go to VAR and look at like a penalty or a red card, the on-field ref will then go to a little monitor on the side, and he will be the one ultimately to like make that decision. So that's what goes on in that. We got Hell is Real this week too. So a fast week continues for the crew coming up here. So that should be a fun one. But yeah, Cavs get things done 106-94. Get Boston in the second round. That series starting tomorrow. I mean, think of Sharky. You could be split 1-1 against Boston, heading back to a big game, game number three on Saturday evening.
Is that your prediction? You're going to split in Boston?
I think so. I think they're going to do it. I mean, the way that they looked in the second half yesterday, the way they looked in the first was brutal.
Boston's really good. Well,
Miami stole one from them early on in the first series.
And then how'd that end up?
Not good. I'm not saying the Cavs are going to win the series. I'm just saying you could steal one there.
Yeah, I hope.
I thought J.B. Bickerstaff was going to get fired at halftime.
Everybody in the media had him fired, that's for sure. I don't know if Kobe Altman had him fired, but the media up there was ready to pounce.
Did you guys watch the Derby on Saturday, the 6:57
yes.
post time?
Yeah.
Man, that was great, wasn't it? It was pretty awesome.
Great.
So the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby produced one of the most dramatic finishes in its storied history.
Photo.
It was the first time ever in 150 of these bad boys that you had a photo finish between three horses.
Exactly.
Usually it's the two, but you had a third banger in there as well. Mystic Dan, I think, went off at 18 or 19 to 1 right before the race. He ended up winning. And those two horses who were following him, one was the, I think, the big favorite, right? Who finished, was like a 99. No big favorite there.
Well, the big favorite was Fierceness.
Oh, and he
3-1. He finished 15.
Yeah, I saw the like jockey like pull up with him. He's like, I don't even want you to exert yourself. I feel like one of the other big favorites was kind of running alongside of him as well.
Sierra Leone
was another big
finished
favorite.
Second.
Yeah, he finished favorite, and then Forever Young, the horse out of Japan, I think finished in third. But it was the first time ever that we had seen in 150 races like a photo finish between three of them.
And what's remarkable, some of my family reunion were watching on a phone, and they're like, oh my gosh, they haven't showed it yet, and they're jogging around. I mean, how long did it take for them to?
It was every bit of like 5-6 minutes.
I was
after
just saying,
the race.
It seemed like 5 minutes.
Yeah, they were interviewing the trainer pretty quickly, and he said, "Well, hang on, it's not official yet."
Yeah,
but NBC had footage, and you could tell that his horse had won, but officially the official track must have been 7-8 minutes later.
Yeah.
Well, I know this. I mean, with the proliferation of gambling throughout the country now, like, I mean, what was the amount that was wagered on that beam?
So the 150th Kentucky Derby on Saturday featured a photo finish and record betting interest. According to Churchill Downs, $210.7 million were wagered on Mystic Dan's win of the Kentucky Derby.
Well, that was
Derby.
A major on hit.
No, just wagered total. besting $20 million the previous betting record that was actually set the year before.
That seems kind of low.
Overall, at the track.
This is just on track betting at Churchill Downs.
I'm guessing at least $500 million was bet.
I think probably easily.
You might be approaching a B. And so as that photo finishes coming down, I told my brother, they're getting this right. Like, they're not screwing it up. Yeah. They're going to wait. I'm sure they have all the different, VR stuff that they can pull things in and out to see who's crossing first, because the amount of dollars that are going to be changing hands predicated on this. Once you declare the winner, you can't go back and be like, yeah, we missed this. You know it. You confirm it, and you give it to the folks.
So, according to Churchill Downs, the $210.7 million was the most, outgarnering last year's by $20 million. Do you want to take a guess at... So, I told you the Derby was $210 million. The amount of bets that came in total for the day at Churchill Downs... Because remember, that's like the 12th race of the day. There's like 13 or 14. There's a couple of them after.
So, basically, how much money throughout the entirety of the day was wagered at Churchill Downs?
Yeah, correct.
$500 million.
$320 million. So you have, it's crazy, isn't it?
Of it was
210 was on the one race, and $100 million of it was on the other, like 13 or 14 throughout the day. That's crazy to me. That is crazy to me that race garners that much amount of money.
But there was only one online sports book where you could make a wager. What about in sports books in Vegas? You could go to the sports book and bet on anything.
And I don't know.
It's only online that it was FanDuel, right?
I don't know the actual. I'm not entirely sure, Shark, of what, like, overall betting on the Kentucky Derby outside of Churchill Downs. We don't have those numbers yet. I'm sure it will come out, the amount. But it says here, so Twin Spires is an online race book and is also like a betting partner of the Kentucky Derby. And you can bet on your phone, like, if you're at the track, I think. There, like, you could do that. They took a record $92 million. It's like the online version of their sports book.
Jeez.
The actual racing book was 92. That's nuts. Absolutely crazy. But it was a heck of a Kentucky Derby. Heck of a Kentucky Derby.
It's good. Good to the last drop.
Yeah,
good,
it really track. Was.
There's not going to be a repeat champ next year, I can tell you that.
There's never in the 150 years has there been a repeat champ.
Man, what's going on? No dynasties and horse racing?
Did we not get any COVID years back?
Yeah, did we not get extra years in eligibility? What happened?
I thought the horses, they got a pause on life.
I thought they could run it back if you were a defending champ. Come back as a four-year-old against all the three-years-old. All kinds of good stuff. Sometimes the transfer portal, it gets you. Sometimes you get the transfer portal. That's next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic.
From the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. We're still watching slow-moving traffic on I-670 westbound right near the 71 split because of a crash from earlier this morning. We're also watching slow-moving traffic on the ramp from 270 eastbound to 23 southbound on the south side of town, and a crash over on 33 westbound on the southeast side. Has some lane closures in place again on 33 westbound just near Gender Road. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan traffic.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
One of these guys thinks Clintonville was named after Bill Clinton. You're listening to Morning Juice.
Monday edition of the program. Brandon Bean, Bobby Carpenter, Mark the Shark coming up here in our next segment around 8:35. Joshua Perry, he's going to pop by, talk all kinds of fun stuff with him. The record was also set at Churchill Downs for attendance. It's the largest attendance since 2018. It's 156,000 people at Churchill Downs. I just can't imagine what that is actually like.
A lot of people, massive, like, humanity, a lot of mud usually on the infield.
Yeah, like, been to Buckeye football games. I mean, that big time fever pitch game. I mean, it's probably about 150,000 people down by the stadium at any given point in time? Yeah. I mean, maybe it's not 150,000, maybe like 120, 130,000.
At the stadium?
I'm saying like down in the area of like a big game. 150 is probably right.
You get a
right.
big night game, yeah. you're getting 200, coach.
Influx down on campus? Yeah, you're right. Because that can be a total mess.
You're getting close to a quarter of a million people there. For big game, like huge games, night games. I mean, it's like a carnival. And you're getting a lot of people that are coming that will just be down there to be down there. So, yeah, it is a full scene when you get to, like, the peak part of the day.
I think we're gonna have, do we have any good ones coming up here this year? Like a big night game? No, we're not going to have one. I mean, your home games this year, you get Akron right off Jump Street on August 31st. Then it's Western Michigan at home. Then it's Marshall at home. You actually get a bye week sandwiched in between Western Michigan and Marshall, too. So the first two games of the year, then you go into an off weekend. Then it's Marshall for the third game. You get Sparty as your first Big Ten game coming up on September 28th. That's on the road. I mean, Iowa, October 5th, that's going to be a home game. You're out at Oregon on the 12th. You get Nebraska at home. I have a little pop to them with Matt Rhule.
That could be a night game.
That could be the one night game.
The thing is, you're not going to get... Fox is going to take the big noon for all the grade A properties. And so you have to look at what other games are going on. But you would think Nebraska, like Matt Rhule, if they're decent this year, there's some juice there. They could maybe put that in the NBC night window.
Mm-hmm. So it already says that game's at noon, actually.
Oh, never mind. Fox already grabbed it.
They must have already had the TV draft.
Well, there must not have been anything else that weekend then.
So you get October 26th. That's the Nebraska game. So the one you could possibly think big game at night, that one's already announced as a noon game. You get Penn State on the road this year. And the way that's been for Fox lately, like Fox is going to gobble that up. It'll be a noon game for that one for sure. Purdue at home in the first weekend of November, probably not. Northwestern at Wrigley, November 16th, like probably not going to be a night game for that. Indiana, the second to last week of the year, then you're against Michigan at home. We know Michigan's traditionally not going to be a night one. You're not going to have...
There's got to be one.
There's got to be one.
You know what they're going to do? They're going to put one of those trash games in at night.
Like Marshall, Akron, Western Michigan, one of those?
Yeah.
How can I interest you in
Indiana game?
A season, but that's so late in the year, Bob. That's November 23rd. Like, you're probably not going to put that at 8 o'clock.
Well, I'm going to let you know a little secret. NBC has a nightly game every Saturday, Beam. So they don't care when it is. They don't just stop airing games at night in November. Someone is going to
be playing.
Is that
a Kevin Warren special?
That was a
I think he was, right? Was sold those rights? Yeah.
Yeah, sold him the Big Ten Championship game, too, for a year, which they didn't have to sell. So that was in there.
That seems good.
Yeah. So, yeah, there will be a night game because NBC is going to want to have Ohio State one time. Now, is it at home or on the road? I would think that you hopefully get one home game out of it. I'd like it to be a decent foe, so I'm not waiting all day for a
bloodbath.
Yeah, I don't need to wait all day for a bloodbath.
Was it Akron a couple of years ago that you did play the night game? Did you play Toledo in a night game a couple of years ago with Daquan Finn? Was that a night game?
Yeah, they played some of those. They had some, too, that were like Big Ten, like 6 p.m. starts early in the year, so it would be dark like in the second half, but maybe not early as much.
I wonder what they're going to do with that Oregon game, too.
That might be a night game out there because there'll be a 5 o'clock start.
Yeah.
Well, unless they want to go big noon.
Big noon, 9 a.m. local kick time.
How good does that sound? If you're Oregon and you've got the Ohio State University coming out there in your inaugural Big Ten season.
What better way to ingratiate yourself to the Midwest than a 9 a.m. local kick time?
That sounds great. Everybody's going to be rocking and ready to go. I'm sure the stadium environment will be just rabid. Honestly, if I'm Ryan Day, I would probably lobby for that.
I agree. Fly in on Thursday.
Their guys are up more. Your guys are going to be up more for it anyway because you're used to playing more traditional noon games and your body clock, and that's what it would still be at that point. And now they're having to wake up early. I mean, it would be pitch black when you woke up. It'd be a mess.
I'm trying to think, too, if that was a 9 a.m. local start, like if we did our radio show, like just the way that our radio schedule works. So we go on an hour and a half before kick time to our network coverage. So that would be a local network join of 7:30 a.m., which means that AR and Timmy May would be on the tailgate show from 5:30 to 7:30, which means that Matty Ice and Tyvus would be doing their show from 3:30 a.m. to 5:30 in the morning.
Let's roll straight from the bar, baby. That's when the drunks come out.
That would be incredible. I mean, I'd be done with my postgame show before 2 o'clock. It'd be perfect. Have the entire rest of the day to do whatever you want.
It's a long day, though, Beam. It's an early start. Early call time.
It's one of the biggest college football games of the year. Like,
oh, yeah.
That Oregon-Ohio State game is a massive
Oregon's
game.
First year in the Big Ten.
Yep.
And you got Ohio State going out there, too. I mean, that's really Ohio State's biggest game on the schedule outside of Michigan.
Yeah.
We got Penn State on there again. I think this is the last year they're going to play Penn State every year.
It is. It's sad.
So that's a little disappointing. James Franklin probably not as sad as many of the Buckeyes. And a lot of former players who I've talked to are disappointed about it because it was – since they came in the league, they've played every year, and that's been over 30 years now.
Well, and it's a cool thing to do, as well, like to go over there and get to experience it. And I know it's a little bit different since, like, Big Noon has, like, gobbled it up, but night game there in the whiteout, that is a spectacle.
It was great.
And then when you put it here, too, at night, like, we always get keyed up for that game, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun. That's what college athletics was all about, man. Now it's going to be a nooner.
Duke Sean Stewart committed to the Buckeyes on Friday. How about that? I mean, it's been a couple of weeks. You get back-to-back guys. Aaron Bradshaw coming in from Kentucky. Now you get a player of Duke. Stewart was a five-star prospect in the class of 2023 per the 24/7 Sports composite rankings. It was the number 17 overall recruit in the country. Now, he did have to sit behind some pretty high-level players at Duke this year. Kyle Filipowski he had to sit behind, but I think Mark Mitchell as well. But didn't get a lot of minutes, Bob. Didn't get a lot of time. It says per 40 minutes, Stewart produced on average, if they just kind of extrapolated his numbers and did it for the whole game, 12.5 rebounds, 15.3, 2.5 steals. Now, his actual stats were 2.5 points per game, 3 rebounds, and 0.5 a block. But that's been some good little business by Jake Diebler and his guys so far in this transfer portal.
They've done a good job. They put it together. Their team is, you lose Zed, you lose Felix, you bring in Bradshaw and Stewart. You think it's an upgrade. I love that. I like consistency of players, but you feel like that's an upgrade there. And you got to keep this momentum riding high. And I think Diebler's done that. Hopefully you can take this, add some shooting, go to a top five Big Ten finish, second weekend in the tournament, and then you've got this program in a spot where everybody feels good about it. But listen, it's getting warm. A little cooler here, but it's been nice, and it's only going to get nicer. So pool season is here. And it's time to go see my friends over at Affinity Whole Health, the leader in the testosterone and hormone therapy game. They're just not here to optimize your testosterone levels. They can do weight loss as well. That's right. Affinity, they can help you lose weight and alleviate those symptoms that come with low T. Affinity, they offer semaglutide injections for weight loss in addition to their testosterone treatments. So you can say goodbye to low energy and low libido and say hello to weight loss and muscle gain. How you doing? Go shirtless down Bourbon Street, shirtless at the pool, shirtless mowing your grass like me, and feel great about all of it. So check them out at feelgreatcolumbus.com. That's feelgreatcolumbus.com.
The venerable Joshua Perry is next to Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, and a good Monday morning to you. We're watching a crash on 33 westbound just beyond Gender Road that has westbound traffic slow moving. Also watching slow moving traffic still on 670 westbound right near the 71 split, and congestion on the ramp from 270 eastbound to 23 southbound on the south side. I'm 10 TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan traffic.
If you make a wise crack about Dayton pizza, Beamer will murder you dead.
Ah, humor. I have it too.
This is Morning Juice.
Here's Long here, Monday edition of the program. Right now we're heading out to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline check with our good friend. He is Joshua Perry. JP, thanks so much for the time, buddy. As always, are you a big Kentucky Derby guy? I mean, what'd you get into this weekend?
Watched a little bit of the Derby. They have 5 hours of coverage there.
And,
shout out to Lindsay Shanzer because she produces the Kentucky Derby. She also produces our college football show on NBC. And I do not envy her because 5 hours is crazy. I did not watch that much. Certainly watched the lead up to the race. Thought it was fun. Phenomenal finish to the deal. Great numbers that NBC had. And I was a few mint juleps in, so I was feeling good.
Sounds tremendous. How did we take it in? Just hanging out? Like you said, you did some traveling a little bit this weekend. Any like big derby parties? Do you wear the hat? How does that work?
No, so I was actually wearing a sleeveless tank top and some sweatpants. Nice. And I was on the grill because my timing was a little bit wonky. So I had my cell phone and I was watching it off the phone, which is crazy. But I didn't want to miss it. And, you know, I had to get the, chicken breast and the hot dogs going. So, that was my setup. We were at my father-in-law's house this weekend in Toledo, which isn't my favorite city, but, I enjoy his little neighborhood over there. So we had some fun.
I'm good. I'm glad that he had a good time. Those mint juleps, I told Bob this last week. I'm like, I'm glad it's not a drink that I would drink throughout the entire year, because when the Derby weekend pops up every year, JP, they just taste so much better because it's something you don't have all the time.
Yeah, I'm kind of there with you. I've made it before outside of like the Kentucky Derby just because I had a taste for it. But it's definitely not something where you're like, oh man, like let's do this all the time. So certainly served its purpose. Actually, I went down the street to the Sonic that was over there so I could get the crushed ice make it properly, right? I think the ice really is the key for that cocktail, but a couple times a year and I'm good.
It sounds like a nice little adventure that you had there, Joshua, as you got the chance to suck all that in, enjoy the wonders of the Kentucky Derby.
I don't like the way you said that.
Well, I mean, that's just being real. I mean, you're just absorbing it at such a high rate, so... You're taking it in, sucking it in, whatever it is. I mean, I don't know. But, you know, one of the interesting things that story, Beam and I really haven't talked about a lot. We got into this yesterday on our show. The Deion Sanders situation going on out there. And, you know, with his son Shador jumping in on social media. And I know you've talked about it a lot on your show on Bally's. Just what are some of your thoughts about that and kind of where all of that has gone and the twists and turns of the Deion Sanders experiment now at Buffalo?
Yeah, I mean, it's been interesting, man. And I thought of even another angle that we didn't even get into yesterday. But, like, the long and short of it, an article comes out in The Athletic, and they interviewed, you know, a few of the 53 guys that got processed out of the program. And obviously, those are never nice write-ups. And the Sanders family felt a way about it. And Shador jumped in on a, you know, one of the quotes that was out there on social media, wasn't tagged in it or anything, just jumped in on it and had something to say. And then Deion decided he had time that morning and he jumped in defending his son. And I appreciate that, especially now that I have a son myself. But he took a shot at a kid that didn't really say anything about him, that wasn't involved, that was a teammate of one of the kids that was quoted in this article. And I had an issue with Prime jumping in on that one because he's supposed to be the uplifting players coach. And particularly it's the uplifting black men coach. And so that's not an uplifting moment when you're taking a shot at a kid because of his stats. So I didn't love that. Shador inserting himself into that conversation makes people start to ask questions about, you know, are you the right type of teammate to be the quarterback of an NFL franchise? And we don't typically ask that question about a lot of positions. And like, you know, Prime, for example, playing out there on an island his whole career, probably didn't matter if he was like the best teammate in the world. When you're a quarterback, you got to be a connector from guy number one to guy number 53 on the roster. It doesn't matter where they are. You got to know them. And to be like, oh, you know, I didn't know, bro, he must have been super mid, is like people are going to ask questions that maybe they don't need to ask. Like Shador could be a great teammate and just be salty that he felt like people were coming after his family and wanted to defend his family, which I think is noble. But I thought it was unnecessary. And I think Prime is in a spot right now where he's being criticized about things that he doesn't fully control, right? Because if his players are out there and they're not playing well, like obviously as a coach, it's your responsibility. But you don't control if a guy has a bad play. And I think he's struggling with that because when he was a player, he could run his mouth, but he could go out there and back it up with his play. The part that we didn't discuss yesterday that just popped into my head as I was driving back home, Prime also had that press conference where, you know, he was asked about, you know, starters and contributors transferring out of the program. And he says to the reporter, who transferred out? Like, who transferred out that's going to play for us? And I think a lot of people are looking at him sideways because it's like, well, there were guys who started and guys who played reps, like your freshman running back who had a really good start to the season is one of those guys who's out of the door. And so, again, it's one of those situations where I do think he's looking at some of the criticisms and they're valid, and he's struggling with that because he is not 100% in control of how to make this situation better, because you can bring in the guys and you can coach them as hard as you want, but sometimes dudes just can't get it, and he's going to have to deal with that.
He is Joshua Perry with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. All right, I want you to kind of flip the clock back, JP, as a prospective recruit, have all this going on. Again, it's only one piece of the offseason, right? Like, if you took your official there and, you know, were being courted by Deion Sanders and the Colorado Buffaloes, I mean, how would you view, I'm sure they have some commits for this next class coming in. They got recruits in the door kind of each and every single day. How would you view this as like a little blip on the radar, or would you see this as a bigger issue?
Well, first off, Prime ain't bringing in high school kids to begin with. He doesn't like recruiting high school kids. So
hasn't left campus once. Hasn't gone on a recruiting visit.
So I don't know if I'd ever made it over there. But I think, and this is something that, you know, when you're a recruit, you got to consider the personality of the coach. And for me, I don't know if that personality would have been something that I would have been driven toward. I don't know if it would have been like, this is the guy I want to play for 100% of the way. The flip side of this is, Urban Meyer was not the personality I would have chosen, but I didn't choose him. I chose Jim Tressel, and, you know, the whole thing went sour there, and they hired Coach Meyer, and I wanted to be a part of Ohio State's program. So, like, on its head, would I have necessarily been like, this is the first choice to play for that guy? No. Would I have found a way to make it work if I had to play for him? Probably. I'd have definitely done everything I could. So, I think there are a lot of kids who resonate with Prime because, you know, because of the way he talks and because of the way he portrays himself and because of how emphatic he is in his belief about himself and his program. And I think that's great. There are other kids who like to fly a little bit more under the radar, and I don't think that would be the program that they would choose.
Yeah, very, very interesting there. I mean, like you said, so much of his personality. I don't know. You probably could have sold tickets to it to sit down with Deion and Georgette back in the day during that meeting. God. She asked him some questions, Joshua, because that would have been, I mean, that's must-see TV right there, Coach.
Oh, man, yeah. Bobby, you know, she asked a tough question, and he'll give you the tough answers. That would have been something.
She might have smacked him.
Hey, before we get you out of here, I know we're going to a 12-team college football playoff format. The NCAA is settling a lawsuit. Looks like they're going to have to pay, like, $2.7 billion in damages, JP. What's
your cut of that?
Yeah, run me my check. What
do you think this kind of looks like moving forward here as we try to break on through to the NIL world and get a little bit of a wrangle on that?
So I think there are multiple ways to look at it. I think that the NCAA has been weakened to a point where nobody takes them seriously. So I think governance has to change for college football particularly. And I think that there has to be a unified approach to the power conferences. And I think it should be separate from G5 and FCS and everything else, because I really don't think that all these teams set out the season competing for all the same things. I do think folks like the NCAA and administration, because of what they do for postseasons for other sports, which they do a good job for those. And so I do think there's a purpose for it. The other thing is we haven't talked as much about the national legislation piece. That's the piece that needs to come so there can be enforceable laws around how NIL works. And maybe that's a world with, maybe it's a world without collectives. But I think that's one of the parts that needs to happen there. And then, of course, when you get to a rev share, one of the questions that you ask, especially at a place like Ohio State, is 36 varsity sports. What happened to some of those other sports that had been supported by football? And I think people would want legitimate answers there because we take pride in having all those sports. So it's a complicated world. I think it's a world we're headed to. So if folks who are making decisions are not asking these questions, then they should call me because I will ask them for them. And we need to be prepared for whatever changes come.
You guys are always asking the tough questions. That's why you're the best. Buddy, appreciate the time. Thanks as always. Great stuff as usual. Have a great rest of the week. We'll check in again soon, all right?
All right. Appreciate you guys.
There he goes. Joshua Perry with us here on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems Fan Guest Hotline. Going to reveal our fan poll next. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there, and happy Monday. Right now, we are still watching slow moving traffic on the ramp from I-270 eastbound to 23 southbound on the south side of town. Other than that, the rest of your central Ohio roadways looking nice and clear. I'm 10TV's Amy Stutterwald with your fan traffic.
Bobby is known as the General. Beamer is known as Beamer. This is Morning Juice.
Wrap things up here. Little Monday edition of the program. We here on The Juice are brought to you by our good friends over at Affinity Whole Health, the leader in testosterone and hormone replacement therapy. You can always visit them on the line at feelgreatcolumbus.com. Uncle Bo and the boys going to be up after we're done. Talking about little Cavs, the Kentucky Derby today, college football, what's going on with the bowl situation. Austin Ward, he's going to join the program coming up at 10:33. And then they also have Danny Cunningham out of Cleveland Magazine. He's going to join him at 11:33. Talk some Cleveland Cavaliers. Sharky, I mean, we got to be feeling good about our Cavalanche.
Oh, feeling great, Beam, because I wasn't expecting it yesterday. I didn't feel good going into the game.
You told us they were going to win in seven.
I know. I felt like the home team was going to win all seven, but...
And they did!
Going into that game yesterday, I was not confident. I just didn't feel good about it.
How did you feel at halftime?
I had to go to FanDuel and put a little wager on it. And, halftime... Well, I was actually feeling better at halftime because they cut the 18-point deficit to 10. And then I went to watch my grandson play flag football. And so I was recording the second half.
Jude, don't call me Julian.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. What a game he had yesterday. Two pick sixes.
Nice.
A quarterback or defensive back?
Defensive back. Okay. And then as quarterback, that's threw a touchdown pass, and he also caught a touchdown pass. But anyway, so I'm driving home, and Jan calls me, and she said, "Are you listening to this game?" And I said, "No, I'm recording it." She said, "Do you want to know what's going on?"
No,
I said, "No,
I'm recording
it." Was she actually watching it?
Yeah, but I thought, if she's calling me, something good must be happening.
Or something really bad.
Or turning the malice in the palace.
Yeah, she wouldn't have called
Donovan
me.
Donovan Mitchell just went into the stands and started fighting Dan Gilbert.
J.B. Bickerstaff just went into the fans against the stands. Is she a basketball fan?
Not much, but she gets more interested, let's say, in the playoffs.
Out of all my life. That's Courtney. She's like, "Let me know when it's game seven." I'm like, "But they got to get there first. Like, can we at least watch like elimination games?"
Out of all of the sports that you watch in the Howell household, which is all of them, I mean, you watch the Blue Jackets, you watch every single game of the Guardians, watch the Browns every Sunday. Obviously, the Buckeyes. Like, is there one sport that she has just a little more interest in, or is it like anytime they're in the playoffs,
she'll watch all the Ohio State football games. Her favorite sport is probably college basketball.
Okay.
But
it's been a rough one the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, it's college basketball has gone so downhill really in the last 20 years with all the one and dones and the transfer portal. Listen, bless their souls, they can go wherever they want, but you're just not familiar with every year you got to look at a roster to figure out who these guys are.
I'm trying to think about what the Ohio State basketball roster scholarship grid is for this year.
Right.
I thought this year, I'm like, most of these guys will be back. That's what we thought. You're going to know a lot of the dudes. And then, you know, see Zed. And then, hey, Felix, I'm coming back until I'm not.
Until I'm not.
You know, and then it's like Bradshaw will be in there, Stewart. So it's just learning new guys. I thought for sure...
Scotty Middleton gone, Roddy Gale gone.
I thought Gale would be back. No, he's not.
Bowen Hardman gone. Dale Bonner, I mean, graduated. He's gone. Jamison Battle, the one and done that you got.
I knew
Battle,
but I thought, okay, Gale will be back. Like, the backcourt will be back. Like, the big three or four guys, and then not as much.
It's still the whole sport revolves around the tournament.
Yeah.
You know? And the tournament's great. Still is great all these years later, but... It's
3 weekends. They start in October.
Yeah.
It's 3 weekends at the end of the year, and they start all the way back. I mean, I guess 4, really, if you want to like talk about like the Big Ten tournament or the conference tournaments. Like, those are still good. But, yeah, unless you're like playing down the stretch for either a berth in the tournament that you've got like sideways in your non-conference and inside of that, or you're going for a conference championship.
Yeah.
Like, if you're the fourth seed, you know you're going to get in the tournament, but you're not going to win. Like,
Ohio State loses a football game, it's devastating.
Yeah.
Ohio State loses a basketball game, you get over it in 5 minutes because, you know, it doesn't matter. When the season ends, you won't even remember that loss.
Oh, I remembered a couple of them from this year. I remember Indiana. Penn State was a bad loss.
18-point lead.
Mm-hmm. That Indiana one was really bad. That one, Penn State on the road, early part of the season. That one, I mean, you can... look at and say, all right, you can get back from here. The Indiana loss was crushing. That was absolutely crushing.
May have kept you out of the tournament.
Yeah, could have. It may have cost Chris Holtman his job. Like, he's now coaching at DePaul, and now you have Jake Diebler. So if they get into the tournament, who knows what happened. But you're right. All right, good. I'm glad. Well, Jan is a big college basketball fan. Does she have a hot take about the transfer portal?
No.
Okay. I don't think I do either. I mean, it's just craziness, and that's the way that we're living in today.
RJ, go ahead. I'm fine with a transfer.
Yeah,
in 4 years. The thing I don't like is four different.
No,
schools.
No, you get one. That's why I anticipate.
If your coach leaves,
you get an extra one, but you get one transfer unless you graduate. I like that because that gives someone a goal to work through and be able to achieve, and you did what you set out to, but. You get one transfer. There are consequences in life. You have to be able to make decisions and own them. And the fact that you have guys just willy-nilly, well, they transferred twice before they even played a game anywhere. Yeah. You know, it's like, what are we doing? So I think with the NIL coming under schools and the revenue share and split, you'll see constraints around it now.
Before we get out of here today, our daily fan poll is sponsored by ER Auto Care, Masters of Our Craft. Today's fan poll at 971thefan.com or on Twitter at 971 deals with the Cleveland Avalanche. How many games will the Cavs-Celtics playoff series last? 4, 5, 6, or 7? I am on FanDuel right now, and you can guess the exact series order if you want, like to juice up your odds a little more. Yeah. Like, see, like the Cavs steal a game in Boston, and then Boston, like gentlemen, sweeps them for 5. Do you want to know what the favorite is for exact order in this series? And it's by a pretty significant margin.
I would say Boston in 5, Cavs win game 3.
Boston in 5, Cavs win game 3 is the second best odds on the board. So I guess second lowest odds on the board at plus 550. Boston game 1, Boston game 2, Cavs in game 3, and then 4 and 5, Boston. So a five gamer. That is at plus 550.
Sweep.
Celtics in 1. 2, 3, and 4 is at plus 185.
Jeez. Ooh.
That is not great. I say we get a fiver, Sharky. I think that game you go to next Saturday, you're going to see a Cavs win. Maybe you steal one in Boston and force a game 6, but defend home court. Bob, I had so much fun today. What do you say we do it again tomorrow on a big Tuesday if they allow us? You good with that?
I'm with you.
Everybody have a great day. Uncle Bo and the boys are up next. We are back live tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. to break everything down. Have a good one. Talk to you then. Morning Juice right here on The Fan.
Fan traffic
from the Atlas Butler Plumbing Services Traffic Center.
Hey there and good morning. Right now, watch for slow moving traffic on the ramp from 270 eastbound to 23 southbound on the south side of town. Other than that, the rest of your central Ohio roadway is looking very clear. I'm 10TV's Amy Steigerwald with your fan traffic.
This is a fan action update.
This action update is brought to you by Tipico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Cavs win and advance as a 3-point favorite over the Magic yesterday. Celtics are next and are minus 1400 series favorites. Boston is the biggest series favorite in the second round or later since 2018. Teams listed minus 1400 or higher in round 2 or later are 8-10-0 since 1990. For your Tipico action update, I'm Scotty Vegas.
Broadcasting from the Lindsay Honda Studios.
Honda makes the cars. Lindsay makes the difference. Visit LindsayHonda.com.
WBNSFM, HD1 Columbus. The Fan Sports Center.
Good morning. I'm Eric Greaser. For the first time since 1993, the Cleveland Cavaliers won a playoff series without LeBron James. Donovan Mitchell scored 39 points. Caris LeVert added 15 off the bench. And the Cavs erased an 18-point first-half deficit to beat the Orlando Magic 106-94 in Game 7 of their first-round playoff series. Cavs outscored the Magic 63-41 in the second half, advancing to the Eastern Conference semifinals. Well, they'll play the Boston Celtics in Game 1 of that best-of-7 tomorrow night in Boston at 7. In baseball Sunday, the Guardians beat the Angels 4-1. Cleveland hosts Detroit tonight at 6:10. The Reds got clobbered by Baltimore yesterday 11-1. Cincinnati's off Monday. They're back home Tuesday against Arizona. And yesterday at Huntington Park, the Columbus Clippers beat the Toledo Mudhens 5-3. This update is sponsored by BMI Federal Credit Union. Earn a $200 cash bonus from BMI Federal Credit Union when you open a new free checking account.